Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, week 8 of the NFL season, we have some big games to discuss. Steelers-Ravens,
Eagles-Cowboys,
Seahawks-49ers,
Browns-Raiders,
Saints-Bears, whatever, Packers lost, gross.
We'll probably spend a lot of time on that one.
Oh, we will dig into that one. We're going full box score.
This is going to be the Packers autopsy episode to deflect from the Bears game.
No, we will give equal time to every team, and we have fastest 2 minutes, Deion Sanders. We have football guy of the week, and who's back of the week? A Monday show, our favorites in the fall. Hopefully you switched your time. Hopefully you listened to us. We got you ready for daylight savings next week. But let's do that. Before we do that, Part of My Take is brought to you by...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Baller School Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Monday, November 2nd, week 8.
What?
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 We start in Miami as Jared Fogle Goff wasn't able to lose the LBs as the Dolphins defense made him look too big for his britches. A nostalgic throwback to missed kicks in the past as Cobra Kai Forbath missed the net flicks by about 20 yards in the fourth quarter. Andrew Rip Van Ginkle made a fool of everyone that slept on the Dolphins for the past 20 years as he returned a 78-yard fumble for a touchdown. Jakeem Eddie Grant and the Dolphins are taking it down to Electric Avenue as Miami wins 28-17.
What?
What?
To Baltimore, where, in a touching tribute to daylight savings time, Big Ben pulled his little hand back. Like a newly divorced mom, the Steelers played the field without Bush. Devin, that is, and Robert mansplained, saying, "I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, the Steelers are for real. Never meant to make John Harbaugh cry. Looks like Baltimore won't get a bye. The Steelers are made undefeated, 28-24.
In Cincinnati, Joe Nut Novemburo exhibited large amounts of high T. Higgins and edged out Ryan Tannehill. Derek Enrique Iglesias said, "You can run, you can hide, but you can't escape my glove."
Jesse Norman Bates brought out the knife in the shower, picking off Ryan Tannehill late. And speaking of Normans, the Bengals haven't looked this good since Andy Dalton, a.k.a. the Red Rocket. And speaking of Red Rockets, Hank's dog's dick is disgustingly huge.
Some spread.
Bengals slap into a Slim Jim and win 31-20.
What?
Oh, yeah.
To Buffalo, where Duckbill Platypus looked like he was smoking quack when he went for an onside kick out of the giant V formation. Zach Liv Moss couldn't be crunch wrapped up, scoring two touchdowns, saying, "Yo, Kiro Taco Bills." Josh Allen Wrench took the right angle in a touchdown run to seal the victory. And no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Bills 24, Patriots 21.
West to windy Cleveland, where Josh Jacob Marsh really fudged the Browns up. Is this mic on? Hunter Biden Renfro found all the cracks in the defense, scoring a touchdown, and Trump tweeted out, "Who is Darren Revell Waller?" But the Browns defense found that out the hard way. Dog-faced pony soldier Cody Malarkey had a gaffe at the end of the game, and the Raiders are back above 500, winning 16-6.
What? Right as Packers fans are starting to care again, Robert Tonyan Harding kneecapped their status at the top of the NFC North. Devontae Adam Daniel back at it again in the end zone in front of the absent white fans of Lambeau. But in a touching tribute to All Hallows Eve, Dalvin Cookie Monster gobbled up all the yards and the touchdowns, saying, "Me want cookie. One touchdown for me. Two touchdowns for me. Three touchdowns for me. Four touchdowns for Cookie Monster." Vikings 28, Packers 22.
In Detroit, where Jonathan Taylor matched up against DeAndre Swift. Hey, wait a second. Taylor versus Swift? Matt Patricia said, "I had a marvelous time ruining everything, as I don't know about you. I'm feeling Jay Agnew led the Lions in rushing after switching to him from Adrian Peterson." The Colts move to 5-2, and the Praters gonna prate. But Phillip Rivers will just shake it off with his throwing motion. Colts 41, Detroit 21.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA. Such a fine sight to see. It's Nick Foles, my lord, with a dick like Norm's hanging down right below his knee. Come on, Drew Brees, you're playing like booty. Put Mitch back in so he can start kissing on boobies.
Saints 26, Bears 23.
And we finish in Seattle, where DJ Debbie Does Dallas was catching and handling balls, scoring twice on the afternoon. DK Wetcap had the 49ers pissing down their legs, while Brandon Walker Ayuk outscored the entire Mississippi State offense by 6 points on Sunday, and wants to remind everyone that even if his team lost, he won. The Seahawks are rolling as Russell Hustle and Bustle is on his way to an MVP, Mr. Unlimited, and the Seahawks 37, the Niners 27.
All right, week 8 in the books. Thanks to Norm for giving us a couple lines there.
Shout out Hank's dog's dick.
It is captivated the internet. It broke the internet more so than Kim Kardashian's ass that one time.
Yeah.
Norm's dick.
Hank, are you feeling, what are your emotions right now? Are you jealous? Are you upset that your dog's privacy has been violated? The fact that he's got a howitzer is now out. We should actually just make shirts that say howitzer.
There's a line over the picture, so you can't even tell it's him.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be any dog. Yeah.
Could literally be any dog.
Might even be
your
dick.
He's built different, though.
No, I mean, it was a weird Friday night. I had to explain to, you know, my one-year-old puppy that, you know, why he was all over the internet, why everyone was talking about him. You know, he was embarrassed. He's a little upset at me for even putting the picture out there, although I didn't. I sent it to Big Cat, and it appeared on the internet after that.
No, Hank, you sent it to our entire group there.
Correct. Right. And you forced us to see it.
No, you guys, we can play the tape back.
Yeah, yeah, we could also play the tape afterwards when you said I was hatching some schemes to try to get you guys to accidentally
see my dog's
dick.
You can't play that tape because that didn't happen. But no, it was, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him.
He was happy, too.
At the end of the day, he's my boy.
He was real excited.
And, you know, he's. I was told that once he gets fixed that the boner won't be a problem. So I'm happy that the picture will always exist.
What do you think happens when they neuter a dog? Do you think that they cut his entire penis off?
I did think that. I don't think that anymore. But truly, it was one of those things. I had a revelation. I was doing a little, you know, hot leafing, steaming some lettuce. And I realized, like, we've talked about this movie Boner Dogs for so long.
It's true.
It wasn't really for any reason, but we got a wiener dog. And the wiener dog happens to have the biggest boner, probably of this entire podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way bigger than mine.
So it's just destiny for, you know, and it's like, I feel like a normal movie where it's like, oh, a bunch of sled dogs. And there happens to be this random wiener dog in there that, you know, is kind of the outcast. And then he has to save the day.
No, it is the chosen son. It is perfect serendipity. Yeah. It's like finding the Dalai Lama in your crib. It's like this dog was born to be your dog on this show.
Maybe we had the entire Boner Dogs plot wrong too. Maybe it's Norman is his little tiny feet can't keep up with the other sled dogs, but when he gets a boner, it acts as like
a
almost like
stick.
Yeah, like a robot, like fifth leg where he's just going as fast as the other guys.
Yeah,
maybe that's it. All right, let's talk some football.
NFL football.
Week 8. It's sad to say week 8 because that means we're halfway through. But
no.
Yeah, I don't.
17 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we'll be halfway through on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we have, right now, we are in the fourth quarter of Gucci Danucci and the.
Just needs one drive.
Abomination that is NFC East football. It is so bad to watch.
Watch it.
It is so bad to watch.
The
but
beast.
We're watching it. So we will recap that when it goes final and also live react to whatever the fuck happens, because this game, like, Carson Wentz has looked at times like he's never played a football game, and then at times he's dropping dimes.
Carson Wentz has played really, really bad, except for, like, he had two good passes today, and he's just throwing some balls that looked like punts that just go, he throws them up to God. He's like, here's an alley-oop, Lord, and then the wind takes it whichever way the wind's blowing in that instant. But yeah, he's looked pretty bad. I do appreciate Carson Wentz's gigantic camouflage sleeve.
Yes, it's makes him miracle. Look like he's got tats.
It's a miracle that the Cowboys can even locate that arm to cause like a strip sack on him, because that thing blends in with its environment. Mm-hmm. Ben DiNucci, I will say this about Ben DiNucci, Gucci DiNucci. Not good, but he's played remarkably well for someone who lost their job to Nathan Peterman
in
college.
Well, okay, and so I'll say something else nice about Ben DiNucci. When you have a backup quarterback that isn't supposed to be playing in a football game, the worst case scenario, in my opinion, is a guy who's too scared and just does checkdowns the whole time. And you basically get like punt, 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 maybe a couple first downs. It's just horrendous to watch. Like, I'm thinking of the game that Jimmy Clausen played when the Bears played the Seahawks and they punted like 11 times. That's painful. Gucci DiNucci, he's at least trying.
Yeah.
He's trying to throw it downfield. He's trying to be Patrick Mahomes and throw it sidearm. So I'll give him credit for that. And credit, we don't know how this game's going to end. We will recap once it does go final. But credit to the Dallas Cowboys for this is kind of their dying gasp, where they have thrown everything at the Eagles. The trick plays, the fun plays, everything is going, you know, out the window here. Like, let's just fuck it and be legends. And then, of course, fuck it and be legends for the Cowboys is 9 points. But you get my drift.
I do think that Mike McCarthy is just running the same scripted 15 plays on repeat. He's just, like, going back to those because they've tried the same, like, end around a couple times now. And credit to the Dallas defense. It turns out that in a weird way, it's kind of good having a shitty quarterback playing, because your defense gets this mindset of, like, we have to create turnovers. We have to stop everybody.
Yep.
Whereas before, they're like, oh, we got Dak. He's going to throw for a million yards.
Yes.
I can take a couple plays off here. When you know that the alternative is, like, you've got Ben DiNucci slinging the ball downfield.
You got the douche.
You're basically the offense when you're on the field as defense. You have about the same amount of chance of scoring a touchdown as he does.
There's also a 50-50% chance that Mike Nolan never got that Tabasco out of his eyes, and they're just playing backyard football without even a plan on defense, which would be better than Mike Nolan's plan.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what the key to the Dallas season is. Just keep Mike Nolan incapacitated and then have the defense just play like, hey, let's just tackle some guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty much their strategy, and it's working.
So,
and also Carson Wentz just throwing the ball up and like he doesn't He's thrown some picks that are like, what is he looking at?
You have to admit, though, the sidearm throws, the submarine throws,
DiNucci tried to throw a curveball.
Yep.
He tried to do the what's that movie that they curved the bullets in? Not The Matrix. I think it was
Inception.
Was it Looper?
I think it was called Shooter.
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 Yeah.
Shooter.
Yeah. Ben DiNucci thought that he figured out a way to throw a curveball with a football tonight. The first person in the history of the world, and he's trying it on national television.
Yeah. Wanted.
Yeah. So credit
wanted.
To him.
There it is. And Carson Wentz, by the way,
terrible movie.
On the
great commercial.
If you had the spectrum of quarterbacks feeling pressure. One end would be Eli Manning, late Eli Manning, when he would self-sack himself whenever someone was within 10 yards of him. And on the other end of the spectrum is Carson Wentz, who doesn't really feel like he's in trouble until he's midair being sacked. At that point, is he like he then will be like, uh-oh, time to bail.
Yeah,
but it's too late to
panic.
Bail.
All right, DiNucci just ran for a five-yard loss directly out of
really
bounds.
A really good one, though.
Just straight to the side. That's fine.
He looks like Kyle Orton, too, with the mustache, and I kind of love the vibe.
I wish that he would really lean into the Italian-ness and do like a curly mustache. He looked like the guy on those office supply commercials.
And maybe a couple pepperonis inside of his little hand warmer.
Yeah, who
just a nosh on.
Who but Ben DiNucci?
Yeah, you're fucking, you know, you got a nosh. Monge, come on. That's what he says every time. That could be his audible. All right, let's get into week eight. Like we said, we will give you a final recap as soon as the game ends. But that was a pretty good recap of everything that's happened.
That's about it.
Yeah, Greg the Leg is pretty damn good. All right, Raiders Browns. It was the win day. Every game was wind, but no game more so than the Raiders versus the Browns. Wind. We got. The Derek Carr stat of 1-10 all time when it's under 45 degrees up against the Cleveland Browns trying to go to like 6-2. Wait, no, 6-2? No.
Yeah
6-2 and be like, whoa, are these guys really for real? And just a beautiful, beautiful sight. I'm so happy in the world that is like so crazy. Oh, DiNucci, that sack might have just
like,
done it.
Yeah, it looked like he was just standing in a wave pool. Is that ball still alive?
Yeah, I think
you got to
so.
Be shitting me.
Yeah, I think that ball's still
you gotta
alive.
You got to be kidding me. There's no chance that ball's
there
still
goes
alive.
That cover.
No.
Yep.
Get him.
Yep.
Get him, DK.
That's brutal.
Fuck!
How did that happen?
He looked like he got hit by a car.
DiNucci.
He looked like a matador that didn't know to get out of the way of the
ball.
Now they're doing snow angels in the end zone.
You can't fucking fumble there. God damn it. That's brutal. I don't know if that was... No, that was a fumble. All right. Okay, so Raiders-Browns. That was brutal because this whole entire room drank the Kool-Aid on DiNucci and took the Cowboys.
No, he was down.
He's down. That ball's down. That ball's down.
We got so hyped before the game being like, DiNucci!
Yeah.
It was fantasy fuckboys.
We drank the Prosecco.
Yeah, we're like, God damn it.
We drank the Red Bull
and
vodka.
The Eagles, I was trying to do the impossible, too, of middling the Eagles earlier in the week at -7 and 10.5.
Uh-huh.
That's like... When you can actually do that, you feel like you're splitting atoms.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
Raiders.
So what I was going to say was, in a world that has gone mad, in a world that nothing is normal, I'm so happy that we at least had a few thousand Browns fans in attendance for this game looking so goddamn sad as a hurricane of like hail and gross wind whipped around. And just an awful, like, this was a throwback game. This was a game that was played in 1992.
Well, I learned a new word today, and that word is grapple.
There
was grapple. That's the technical term for the weather, which is, I guess, a combination of sleet, hail, rain, all that shit. Just shit. Just like the worst weather that you can ever imagine. It's called grapple, and that's what was happening in Cleveland today. It was windy, and I had a dumb, this is a kind of embarrassing for me to admit, but I maybe you guys can help me out. What is wind?
What do you mean?
What's wind? Where does it come from?
God. When
God farting.
Blowing.
So, yeah, the thought I had was maybe God farting.
He's actually trying to...
It's the tectonic plates.
He's actually
the
trying...
moving around. Mountains, when they move, they displace air.
God's trying... it's God's birthday, and he's... Oh, it did count.
What?
Well, that's terrible.
What?
So we lost the cover. It is when the forest fires are actually the candles.
It's anti-Italian bias.
They're the candles for God's birthday, and he's trying to blow them out.
Okay.
So that's wind.
Yeah, so it was a shit game. I wanted the Browns to win, but how weird would it be knowing that the Browns are a 6-2 football team?
No, it would
really
be
strange,
very uncomfortable.
Because they're not good. The Browns aren't good, but they're average, I guess?
Yeah.
I think the Browns are a perfectly average football team.
So they're average, and to say something nice about the Browns, they have the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, actually, they're going to get back on track. So they're sitting at, 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bye week. And then they play the Texans, the Eagles, and the Jaguars. I think they can win two out of three of those, if not three.
Yeah.
So you're now looking at maybe the Browns being like 7-4 or 8-3 going into the final stretch. Mm-hmm. That's real.
Well, I don't want to get people's hopes up from Cleveland because it's happened before. Bad things have happened to you. But
Hank is in shock still. I mean, I am too.
I'm sure that the Cleveland Browns are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no,
I'm 90% sure that the Browns are going to be a playoff team this year, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes,
I am rooting for the Browns in the playoffs at this point.
That can I say something bad though?
Don't. I just said something really nice about Cleveland.
Yeah, this game might have hurt them a lot because the Raiders are going to be the team that probably is going to be vying for that seventh.
If they had won this game, they were pretty much locked up to make the playoffs.
Right.
I would put them at 99% in my proprietary metrics and algorithm.
Right now,
90%.
Little different. But the Raiders deserve credit because the Raiders have been like up and down all year. It feels like one step forward, two steps back. But this was a big step forward going on the road, winning this game. I told you the stat about Derek Carr. He doesn't play well in bad weather.
Trent
Brown almost died before the game.
So Trent Brown got a pregame IV.
Jesus Christ.
He's still recovering from COVID, right? He had COVID?
I don't know if he did. He might have. He just has a sweet ass tattoo of two women sucking him off.
Yeah, and there's like clouds in the background, and then awesome. He's like throwing lightning bolts.
Mm-hmm.
He got a pregame IV, and there was like some air that got into his veins, and the air started circulating. He got wheeled out on a wheelchair. And so they didn't report exactly what happened before the game went down, but everybody on Twitter was just saying, like, this is classic Trent Brown drama. Like, can we get rid of this guy already? They didn't realize that he was in the hospital, like maybe dying.
Yeah.
Maybe dying.
Right.
Now, as a bettor, I would have liked to know this before the game so I could have bet on the Raiders because they said that they went out there and they played for Trent Brown.
Right.
I'm not going to make it all about me because, obviously, he was in some really bad shape. It sounds like he's going to be okay. But, yeah, that's a pretty fucked up way to start the game.
Yes, very fucked up way to start the game. Hank, you absolutely are right. That was the most down person that I've ever seen. I don't understand what the refs were looking at. Yes. All right. I agree, though, PFT. Go ahead, Hank. Go ahead.
Can't believe what's happening. The sound is not on, so I don't know what they're saying, but this game is rigged.
This game's under protest. Officially under protest. Ben DiNucci is still a winner in my book.
There we go.
I'll take that back. He's not a loser.
Not a loser.
Ben DiNucci, not a loser.
Not a loser. You all right, Hank? You going to be okay?
DiNucci's going to score. We're good.
Yeah, I do not think that's going to happen, Hank.
Throw another curveball, DiNucci.
I'm going to tell you that right now, straight up, not going to happen. I'm sorry, Hank, but not going to happen.
How many reverses are we going to see on this next play? And by the way, shout out to Mike McCarthy for somehow getting a mask that fits over his face.
Yes.
That thing is hanging on for dear life between both ears.
Yeah, he's been in the tight mask Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, so Raiders, Browns, anything else? I am impressed with what the Raiders have been able to do because when you look at, the Raiders don't, I mean, that loss against what now is a 2-5 Patriots team is very bad, but they lost. The other two losses are the Bills and the Bucks. There's no shame in those two losses, mm-hmm. and they've beaten some decent teams, including the Chiefs.
Pre-Corona Patriots, different team.
They beat a healthy Cam Newton.
So like the Raiders are
they're four and three.
They're good ish. Yeah.
Well, I think with a John Gruden team, you're always going to get a physical football team.
Yeah.
The Raiders are a physical damn football team.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love saying that. Like, dude, they're just physical. They can run the ball.
They're physical
men. They're built for the playoffs. That's true.
If they can get to the playoffs, they're going to look like they're supposed to be there.
Yes, exactly. All right. Next up, Titans-Bengals. So we had this one wrong. Bengals shocked the Titans. I hate that I don't trust my gut sometimes because we've had these discussions about the Titans, and I do consider Will Compton and Terry Luan friends. They are Bussing with the Boys, our fabulous podcast. So I don't want to hurt them too much, but this is kind of what we talked about when the Titans lost to the Steelers. They have no pass rush. They didn't get a single sack of Joe Burrow, who that offensive line is starting like five backups.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So That is the Titans' major fatal flaw, and as good as Ryan Tannehill has played at times this year, and as good as Derrick Henry is, and some of their wide receivers have looked, if you can't get any pass rush, you're fucked. And well, that's what the Titans, that's what did them in today.
I think you hit the nail on the head. The problem with the Titans is they don't have Taylor Lewan and they don't have Will Compton anymore.
Yeah.
Will Compton's buried on the scout team somewhere. I'm going to use the F word on the Titans. I think the Titans.
I've been saying it.
I think the Titans are a fraudulent football team.
Wait, you were in on them like a week ago.
I'm out on them.
So you're in on my side.
They made me look like a jackass for saying that they were going to put the womp in on the Bengals when the Bengals reverse womped them and just buried them underneath the turf.
I've been saying this for weeks.
The Titans. So here's why
I've been saying this for weeks.
Here's why I think they're frauds.
Even when they were 5-0, I was saying I don't think that they're really that good.
Because Ryan Tannehill. We should always stick with our gut on Ryan Tannehill. And what we saw in the first like six seasons out of Ryan Tannehill, he can't just be like completely different, right? Derrick Henry was cooking today. Derrick Henry got the ball. He ran for what, like 120 yards, something like that?
Yeah.
They're fraudulent. The Titans are frauds.
But that's – I wouldn't put it – like, I don't think Ryan Tannehill is their problem. It's the fact that their defense cannot get a stop. Their defense cannot get off the field on third down. Their defense has no pass rush. Like, to not be able to sack Joe Burrow once with this – oh, automatic safety taken.
Smart play by it. Mike McCarthy.
Just even wonkier.
You always have to take a safety to go down 23-9.
Even wonkier. they don't –
What the fuck is Mike McCarthy doing right now? Mike McCarthy, inside his little tiny brain that exists somewhere like where that dangly hanging down thing in your throat is, that's where McCarthy's brain is.
Yes.
And that's telling him, you're going to be such a goddamn genius if you take a safety with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter to go down by 14 points.
Field position. Field position.
What a fucking moron.
You know what Mike McCarthy did? He just flipped the field.
He did.
Mike McCarthy just flipped the goddamn
field.
This
is what we talked about with McCarthy last week, which is he learned something and now he's just going to stick with it. Mike McCarthy saw a coach take an intentional safety somewhere in film study this week and was like, I'm going to work that into the playbook.
Yes. I think you can onside kick. I don't know if you can.
It's a punt. So I think you have to drop kick.
It's a free kick.
Yeah. It has to hit the ground and then you kick.
So I don't think it's Ryan Tannehill. It's the defense. The Bengals went 10 for 15 on third down today. Like the Titans are dead last in third down efficiency on defense. They can't get stopped. So
I agree that it's not Ryan Tannehill. I'm saying that Ryan Tannehill is
using his vibe.
I think he's emblematic of the fact that we are giving too much credit to the
Titans.
I'm
happy that you've joined me because I have had to fight Titans fans for a long time now. And it's not I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just telling you what I see. Titans are a good team. They're not a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could make a little run in the playoffs, sure. Do I think that they'll beat the Chiefs? Never.
Now, the only way that you can convince me that they're not a fraud after today is if you just were to tell me this is a trap game. If you were to say it's a trap game, then that's a really good way of me being like, yeah, you know what? You're right. It was a trap game.
No. Again, guess what? Next week, the Titans play the Bears. So they get to shit down my throat when the Bears obviously will lose. Because I'll tell you what, if Titans fans, if you're looking for one thing to turn this thing around, guess who can't convert on third down? The Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later. So your defense, you're going to walk away next Sunday after that game being like, our defense is sick.
I think that
we shut down the Bears.
The Titans are everything that the Bears aspire to be. Like, on your best day.
No, we're just different teams.
You could be the Titans.
Because the Bears are they're bizarro world Titans where they just don't have any offense and they have all defense. But so we should say something nice about the Bengals. The Bengals are, I think they've surpassed Frisky. I think they're just like an ascending bad team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ascending to. They've done the close losses. They've won a couple games. They've tied a game. Like, this is, if you are a fan of an NFL franchise, this is the exact recipe that you want when, they didn't even flip the field because it's a punt from
spot. It's a free kick.
It's from the same spot. You want to have exactly what's happening with the Bengals right now, and that is losing close, winning some games, and you have your quarterback. And Joe Burrow is the quarterback. Oh, my God.
That was a rugby dropkick. That's
work?
What I've been saying coaches should be doing.
Yeah.
I think it worked.
This is a hilarious.
There you go.
This game is so fucking funny.
Now DiNucci's going to go down, get another field goal, then another onside kick, then another field goal, then an onside kick. Then take another safety when you recover that one. Then another field goal.
There we
and
go.
And then we only lose by two.
Perfect. So, Bengals, if you're a Bengals fan, you have to feel like this is the time where you're almost like, I don't want to say it's better than winning because winning is the best, but there is something to be said about the building team. Like the team when you have your guy and you're like, oh shit, this thing is about to open up for us for a very long time.
Because you don't have the expectations where if you don't meet them, then you're crushed.
Right.
Right now, it's all gravy. Like, it's, everything that Joe Burrow brings to the plate right now, you feel like your future is unlimited.
And you can do the thing where if your team is bad but doing better, you can have a couple random stats in your back pocket where you're like, actually, the Bengals are the best at this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of shove it in random people's faces where they're like, the Bengals suck. And you're like, well, did you know the Bengals are, you know, this, this, and that. And Joe Burrow is this, this, and that. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, maybe the Bengals are good.
Oh, you think the Bengals
suck? It's starting
to
turn the reputation.
It's
been
a full 7 days since one of their players quit and put their house up for sale online after the game.
Yeah.
So no other team can claim that.
And we talked about it last week, but Joe Burrow with the combination of T. Higgins, who's a stud, and Tyler Boyd, you now have, and we don't know what's going to happen with A.J. Green, but you have in Joe Mixon, you have like the makings of an offense that should be around. Joe Burrow will be around longer than this, but those guys with Joe Burrow will be around for the next 5 to 7 years. I don't know. It's exciting. That's an exciting win for the Bengals.
Well, what's going on with John Ross? Because John Ross...
He demanded a trade.
Yeah, I don't know if John Ross is good or not. I do know that he's fast as shit.
He is. He's all the jokes about DK Metcalf, but in reality...
He can't turn.
He just... He. I don't think he can run routes. I don't think he can catch balls, but he can run really fast.
Okay. Yeah. He is really, really quick.
Really fast.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Bengals are in a good spot. This was, dare I say, a signature win.
Ooh.
For Zach Taylor.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Think about anything good that Zach Taylor's done in his first year and a half in the NFL. It's just like today. Today is the best thing that Zach Taylor has done since
that's
he's got
pretty much
a coaching job.
But that's a good win for the Bengals.
Very good
bad
win.
Loss for the Titans. They take a step back. And next week should be interesting for I'm going to dread that game.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to discuss Colin Coward's take of the Steelers have the worst quarterback in the AFC East right now?
Or the AFC North?
AFC North, excuse me. Yeah.
Let's do that when we get to Steelers, Ravens.
Okay.
We'll rank them. That's a wild take. Well, okay, well, let's do it when we get to AFC
and
North.
To be fair to Colin Coward, he said it after week one.
And also he's saying it right now, I'd assume.
Uh-huh.
I actually don't hate that take. We'll do it. Okay. We'll do it for Ravens Steelers. All right. Patriots Bills. This was a classic game where everyone in the world, this happens every now and then in NFL season, where everyone in the world says the Bills -4 is the greatest bet of all time because the Patriots don't have Edelman, they suck, coronavirus, their defense sucks, everything sucks. It was all but guaranteed that it would end exactly like this, with the Patriots losing by 3, covering, but also losing because they're just not really a good team right now.
Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, It's crazy to see him running these trick plays and these gimmicks like doing onside kicks that are unexpected because he's afraid of losing and not just because he wants to embarrass the other coach.
Yeah.
These are the types of things that Belichick usually does for fun because he's a sicko. And he's like sadistic and he likes to let the other coach know that he's operating like 5 planes above you mentally.
Yeah.
And this, he's doing it because he's desperate.
Well, not to sound like a super smart football guy, but if you want to sound like a super smart football guy, you should basically look at that game, watch that game, and be like, that's actually, here's ready for this one? That's one of the best games Bill Belichick's ever coached. You like that?
It was a winnable game.
You like that, though? That's one of the best games. Because their roster sucks.
To win.
And they were running all kinds of weird like runs and basically being like, we have to change our entire DNA to try to win that game. So that's the like hot take. Go on, what's the Fox show? First Things First, or go on. Max Kellerman will say that tomorrow. Max Kellerman or Dan Orlovsky will say that's the best game I've ever seen Bill Belichick coach. That's what he'll say, because their roster sucks so bad, and the fact that they were within 3 points. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to call my shot. I'm going to say someone's going to say that tomorrow.
He did put them in a position where they could have won the game.
No,
at the end.
If
Cam Newton didn't fumble.
Right. I was watching that game being like, this is exactly what I expected when I took the Patriots +4, was for Bill Belichick to find a way to exploit the Bills defense, which is their rush defense, and essentially like throw like Band-Aids and duct tape at a game plan and it almost worked.
I disagree. I think the best game that Belichick ever coached was the Super Bowl loss to the Giants. The one in their perfect season.
There you go.
Because he dealt with the most ferocious front four pass rush of all time. That game, the Giants played the perfect game plan, and Belichick had
kept them within three.
Like, if you had known going into that game that you were going to be dealing with OC, Michael Strahan, all these guys, that they were going to be hitting Brady all day long, the spread probably would have been 10.5 points.
Yes. It was, yeah. Yeah. What was that spread? I think it was 17, which is crazy to think about. Like, everything that we know about being, like, smart football, like, 17, that was a it was the spread of the Jets-Chiefs game today.
19.5, right?
Yeah, it was 19. I mean, it's, you know, pretty close. That was the spread of a Super Bowl.
Hank, do you have any comment about the Patriots? Are they going to be sellers at the trade deadline?
Oh, that's a big topic. Yeah. Because Tuesday, Schefter, we know that. Tuesday is the big news on Tuesday is the trade deadline.
So privileged to be saying that, Big Cat. Hank, do you have any comments about being sellers or buyers at the deadline?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not used to seasons like this, but is it crazy for me to still expect us to go to the playoffs?
Yeah, yes. It's pretty crazy.
2-5,
fairly
yes.
crazy, I'd
yes.
say.
In the AFC?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Insane.
You do have two games, I think, against the Jets left, so.
There you go.
You know, put those down.
We're going to have football next week.
Against the Jets?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Belichick is gonna Belichick is gonna do something.
Hank's face just curdled. He's like, "What, Hank? You should try to go. Do they let fans in there?
Fuck no.
Meadowlands with back to back Monday night game.
Wait, dude, how funny would that be if you went with a GoPro?
Nope.
Come on, Hank.
Hank,
I'm not gonna sneak into a
fine. We'll make Billy
Boston sports game.
We'll make Billy go. We'll make Billy
try to capture the cat
against the law.
Try to adopt the cat.
No, I don't know. I thought they were gonna win the game. It was still an ugly game. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm honestly, I can't focus. I can't focus
because of this Cowboys game.
Why, you got brain fog?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Eagles were offsides. The Eagles were offsides. And then they had the ball clearly down. They ripped it out like 10 seconds after the play seemed like it was over.
They had the ball in their possession on the ground, did they not?
Yes, for like 10 seconds.
That's insane. Under protest.
Disgusting.
Oh, man. All right, next up, by the way, the Bills are 6-2. They have command of the AFC East now, although the Dolphins are lurking. Dolphins are 4-3. The Bills, though, have, like, big-time tests. They have a mini gauntlet coming up where it's like, are the Bills really, really for real? Because they play the Seahawks next week at the Cardinals, Chargers, who are, like, spicy under any circumstances.
They'll lose to anybody by 2 points.
At the Niners and then versus Steelers. So this next five games.
That's not a mini gauntlet. That's like a hallway of death.
Right. So these next five games are basically going to tell us, like, because the Bills are good, but are they, like, step good?
You know what today was? Today was a must win for the Bills.
Yes, it
Knowing was. That you had that mini gauntlet coming up, you had to go in there on the right foot.
We also have, by the way, the this season for the Patriots is going to be crazy stats season. So this is the first time the Patriots have a 4-game losing streak since 2002.
It's like the Bizarro Brown stat.
Yeah, we're just going to get all these weird stats. Like, this is the first time the Patriots are this much of an underdog. This is the first time the Patriots are this. Like, it's going to be just constant stats reminding you that the Patriots just haven't lost in, like, 10 years.
I bet you every week you could find another crazy Patriots stat and have the exact opposite correlate to what the Browns just did that week.
Right.
Somebody out there find a good stat about, like, this is the first time that the Browns are 5-3 since so-and-so, which is also the last time that the Patriots are at whatever weird stat that you can drag up about them.
Yes. All right, next up, Colts-Lions. Where do you want to start? You want to start Lions or Colts?
Let's start with the Lions, because I'd like to say something nice about Matt Patricia.
Oh!
The Lions outscored the Colts 7-0 in the first quarter.
Duh.
And they outscored the Lions 7-0 in the third quarter. It's just in the second quarter, they got outscored 20-0, and the fourth quarter, 21-7. But in the first and third quarter, that's when you come out.
Coaching quarters.
With coaching quarters.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the game plan was good going into it.
Yep.
The adjustments at halftime appeared to be successful. They appeared to work.
Yep.
It's just, you know, Matt Patricia can only put his players in position to win for 15 minutes at a time.
Right.
And then everything else is just like a fart in the wind.
They need to, like,
which
have
I guess is redundant.
They need to have, like, a full, like, a Zach Morris timeout for Lions games.
Yes.
We're like, timeout, let's stop, let's take a couple days, then we'll come back. But, yeah, the Lions Lions, like, this was a very Lions game in that they come out, they score first. You're like, okay, Lions, here comes the itty-bitty run. And then the Colts just kind of manhandled that. Like, the Lions' weakness is just man football. When they play man football teams, they don't win. And I'm not going back on my little bitty. I had a lot of people being like, what about that little bitty baby run?
Mm-hmm.
I said very clearly that the Lions will be Thanksgiving Day playing at 5-5 versus the Texans. I still think that because they're playing the Vikings, the R-words, and the Panthers.
The FTs
and the Panthers. Those are their next three games. I think the Lions can still go 2-1 in that stretch. This is a little setback, but the Colts are just a better team than them.
That's true.
And Darius Leonard, by the way, makes a all huge the difference. Like huge that difference. Colts defense is completely different now that he's back. And the Colts now go from without Darius Leonard to like, ugh, the Colts, what's going on? To the Colts are now back into the mindset of they should and can win the AFC South.
Well, so Big Cat, out of those three games that you mentioned, how many of those are at home in Detroit?
One.
Okay, that's good. That's good because the Lions have not won at home in over a year.
Yeah. No, it's sad.
They've lost seven consecutive home games.
It's a sad trombone playing all the time.
Not great. They are starting to let Stafford cook, though.
Yes.
They're letting Stafford cook. They ran the ball, what, like five times?
Yeah. But with Stafford.
He looked like he fingered a robot. That thing was just like, it was just like grated up.
Like Trevor Bauer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He looks like, he grabbed a drone out of the air.
Yeah. No, Stafford is an all time, like, fourth quarter. 17 injuries guy, like hobbling, not to the point where Ben will tell you about it. Like Stafford, to his credit, he's very, very tough and he doesn't really talk about his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year, remember when he had broken back and it was just like, oh, Stafford might not play today. Yeah, and then it was like 2 days later, it's like Stafford had surgery on his broken fucking back. Yeah. Could you imagine if Ben had that?
He had coronavirus earlier this summer, right? So, and the reporters had to like drag it out of the franchise.
Yeah, he's a tough motherfucker. But every game, if it's like some even a little bit close in the fourth quarter, Stafford is like the walking dead. He's limping to the huddle. He's like Byron Leftwiching down the field. That's when you have peak Stafford.
There's something really cool about walking around just with a bloody hand, though.
Yeah,
because everybody sees the dude with the bloody. Yeah, you should see the other guy.
Like, babe, go grab me a rag and a beer.
Let me put a T-bone steak on my
Hank's
cheek.
Not giving up on the nooch.
On the nooch. Yeah, the nooch. Well, we're cooking now, Hank.
He's not giving up on the nooch. This is fantastic.
I'm eager to see what kind of 2-point conversion McCarthy pulls out of his extremely wide pants.
Can the nooch do it? All right, next up. Oh, no, sorry. I had something else I want to talk about the Colts. So I was looking through, getting ready for the show, and I saw this stat, and it's such a hilarious stat because who the fuck knows like what league it is, but I saw a stat that Philip Rivers is now – he had a good game, by the way – and he also throws – Philip Rivers has the funniest screen passes ever where he threw a screen pass to Jonathan Taylor that touched the ceiling. It was so fucking high.
It would have hit the scoreboard if it was in Dallas.
I don't know what he was doing. It's so fucking funny.
He's putting air under the ball, letting his receivers run under it.
Make a play.
Yeah.
All right, so the stat is Philip Rivers today moved into sixth all-time in highest-ranked fantasy quarterbacks. So sixth all-time in fantasy points. Now, this is just assuming everyone has the same league, which no one has the same league. So six all time, and he's never had a game with 30 fantasy points under this league that they were saying.
I believe that, yeah.
And I went back and I looked, and Philip Rivers has played 234 games in the NFL. How many times has he had four touchdowns?
Twice?
No, it's more than that. 234 is a lot of games.
Yeah. But he's a guy that will always – I had him for a couple years.
Yeah, he had nine.
He was like 19 to 22 points every single week.
Yes, he's had nine games with four touchdowns. He's never thrown for more than four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then – which is – this is not very fair of me, but I went and looked up Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has played 38 games. He already has 10 games with four more touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
So it's just so funny because I never even – if you had asked me before this, like – has Philip Rivers ever thrown for five touchdowns a game? I'd say absolutely yes, but he never has.
Yeah, and if the thing about Rivers was in San Diego, he always had a pretty decent running game around him.
Right,
too.
But you, so like he didn't, some he didn't of those really games, like shootouts,
all on his own.
I just For some reason, I envisioned him having a game where he threw five touchdowns.
I feel like Rivers doesn't get into that many shootouts. It's mostly just, you know, he loses 27 to 26.
Right.
Or, you know, if he's feeling real frisky, it's like a 35 to 30 loss.
I wonder if he just turned on that Broncos-Chargers game, which we're going to get to. Oh, my God. Can he score? He cannot score.
Will not score.
And Hank is mad. And he deserves to be mad because he got screwed. DiNucci.
The fucking refs.
We have more important things tomorrow. We'll be okay.
No.
Oh, my God. Jake. Wrong answer. Wrong answer, Jake.
No.
Hank is looking at the TV like, will they put some more time back on? I mean, I had it too, so it sucks. And I didn't do my – I didn't try to split my – my Adam didn't get split.
Well – we almost had him, DiNucci.
So that was the NFC East.
The Eagles
have full control of it. The Cowboys gave it their all.
Would not say full control. They have the NFC East in, like, they're giving the NFC East the Heimlich maneuver right now.
They have the NFC East on lock.
No.
On God.
Not true.
On God, on lock.
Carson Wentz?
On God, on
lock. Carson Wentz doesn't have anything on lock.
All right, so that's their third win. Yeah, they're 3-4-1. All right.
That does sound pretty commanding.
3-4-1
is that way. Yeah.
That's a significant advantage. All right, next up. Oh. This is a funny game I just saw. Vikings Packers.
Yeah.
I hate myself for not going with the real advanced stats that the Packers are now 0-7 in their last 7 games on daylight savings weekend. Please, everyone, remind us next year. I swear to God, I will max bet it under any no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't know why I put the Packers in my can't lose parlay this week. I thought maybe they'd at least win, but not cover. But holy shit, 0-7 in their last 7 daylight savings weekends. That is officially a stat. Like, yes. That's officially a
thing. It should have been a stat when we said it was a stat this week.
But this week, they're favored by 7, and they're playing a Vikings team that's not very good, and they lose at home, and it's like, holy shit, they just literally cannot change their clocks.
I got them by 6, and that, to me, it's like, I can't bet against that.
Right.
The Packers minus 6? Hell yeah, they're going to win by at least a touchdown. Well, I forgot that I was also betting against Father Time, who is undefeated, and I think it's because you can see the effects of daylight savings time first, the farther north you get.
Yeah, that
so
must
you,
be
you
it.
You saw it in the games in... they play in Seattle, right?
They played in
it
Seattle.
It was in Seattle and in Wisconsin. It almost turned... The sky turned orange at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which just made me sad because it's like, okay, now is the season where we wake up and it's dark outside and we leave work and it's still dark outside.
It sucks.
And it sucks. But we're idiots for not trusting the stats and the sabermetrics and all the advanced analytics and going with the Packers this week. It fucking sucks. We're stupid.
So I have a question. I know that I know we won't spend so much time on this, but I have a question for you, PFT. Would you say, now the Packers are good. I'm not going to say they're not good. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is playing great this year. But, similar to last year, would you say the Packers might be a tad bit soft?
I'd say their defense might be a little soft.
Well, that's kind of where the hardness matters.
I will say this. The Packers are an excellent team to root for this year if you're really, really trying to get your heart broken in early January. Like, they are
similar to last
year. They are going to just destroy some hearts this year. They're going to end up with a record like 12-4,
mm-hmm.
and Aaron Rodgers is going to be cooking at the end of the season.
He's going to win a playoff game,
and he is going to break everybody's heart. And you know what? Now it's time to start asking the question: how much blame goes to Matt LaFleur for wasting the prime of Aaron Rodgers' career?
Yes,
with these fraudulent football teams.
Yes,
let's just flip that coin right from Mike McCarthy to Matt LaFleur.
I'm not. Everyone knows I'm very biased in this conversation. But
I'm an owner of the team.
Similar,
I'm very biased.
It's similar to last year when I was like, I don't think that they are a real 13-3 team because they can be run on like Dalvin Cook did today, and they don't tackle well like they did today, where Dalvin Cook had 94 yards after contact, and also had a 50-yard screen pass that he took to the house that was like just sliced through their defense. So that's all I'll say. Is their defense soft? Aaron Rodgers is still playing. Like, he was still, you know, they just didn't make a few of those plays at the end of the game. It felt like they were always in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15. And like, ooh, if they get this, they'll flip the switch and they'll be back in this game. They couldn't convert that. But I don't know. You know what's going to be great? On Thursday night, we get to decide in 3 days because you have the Packers going to the 49ers. The 49ers coming off a bad loss. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt. Greg Kittle might be hurt. And guess what the 49ers do? They play man football.
Yeah,
so let's see what happens.
It's funny because this game, the Minnesota Vikings took the 49ers blueprint and used that blueprint to beat the Packers.
Right.
Now the 49ers are going to take the Vikings blueprint of the 49ers' old blueprint and try to beat them with essentially just a running game on Thursday night. I think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I think that the Packers, guess what? You don't have Blake Martinez this year being the little tackle vacuum back there, getting 17, 18 tackles a game. They are on defense. Offensively, I think they're great.
Yeah.
And especially when they have Aaron Jones come back.
Yeah, Aaron Jones being out definitely hurt them today.
Offensively, they're a very good football team. Defensively, if you are if you're losing to the Vikings and giving up 160 yards on the ground to Dalvin Cook, and then Kirk Cousins only had to pass the ball 14 times. That was Jimmy Garoppolo playoff blueprint.
It was the most Kirk Cousins stat line. 11 for 14, 160 yards and a touchdown, and the one touchdown was the 50-yard screen to Dalvin Cook. So he basically had 90 yards.
And you're dealing with Kirk Cousins. This is as hungover as Kirk Cousins gets is the day after Halloween when he's had like a few too many milk duds.
Yep.
Stayed up all the way till 11:30 at night and he comes in. He's
definitely
got a raging headache.
Pimps out his entire house. Tries to scare all the kids.
Yeah.
Makes it way too extreme. You're like, all right, chill out, dude.
He's got like those speakers like hidden under the fake cobwebs on his porch.
And then
you walk by and you hear like Frankenstein moaning.
Yeah, and then tomorrow he's going to do the clean switch. He's going to take down all the Halloween stuff and put up all the Christmas stuff.
He'll probably go over to his neighbor's house and be like, hey, do you need any help taking down your Halloween stuff?
Yeah, it's time for the Christmas lights.
His neighbor's going to be like, I just got off work, dude.
Yeah, just relax, Kirk. I guess my question for Packers fans would be this, because this is the sell I always tell myself with the Bears when it comes to the style they play and the fact that they just have never had an offense ever. The Packers, don't they feel like a team that is built for a dome or a warm weather climate? Their offense is explosive. They can win shootouts, but they can't win when they have to grind it out and get man footballed.
Yeah, I think they're a team that's not necessarily built for a dome. They feel like a team that's built for California.
Right.
They feel like they,
like if you're a Packer fan, you're probably frustrated. Like, what the fuck? Can we play a little defense?
Yeah, they play West Coast football.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
We'll see.
They certainly don't play Heartland football.
I actually think I took it pretty easy on the Packers there. I didn't say that many mean things. They're soft.
Well, we said some nice things
about
them. We said they're going to make the playoffs. You said that Aaron Rodgers is going to win a playoff game.
Yeah, and playoff
forget
game.
Everything that happens after that.
Yeah, exactly. And they're soft.
We said that we kind of felt bad for Mike McCarthy getting blamed for wasting Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah.
And Matt LaFleur is also doing it.
Let me ask you this, PFT. Would you rather have a soft football team go 13-3 or a hard as fuck football team go like 8-8 and not be able to get first downs?
Hard as fuck.
And I rest my case.
Because guess what?
Than the Packers.
Guess what? We play man up football.
Yeah, we fucking play defense, we don't play offense.
Yeah, I'd rather put a hat on a hat than walk out into a fucking 75 degree day with a visor on.
That pussy ass shit of the forward pass. No, thank you. all right. Speaking of other big games, so we had another big game: Steelers Ravens. This was a huge, huge game. Actually, you know what? Because it was such a big game, I'm going to do an ad with our favorite new advertiser before we get to Steelers-Ravens.
You sponsor alert.
That is...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Steelers Ravens. Steelers 28, Ravens 24. I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Okay. I'd like to counter your argument. You're implying right
now.
Not you. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking to you.
I know. We all know.
You actually answered that you thought Steelers were better.
I think that the Steelers are better, but I also think that the Ravens displayed signs of not being a completely fraudulent football team.
Okay. And which are their defense is good.
They outgained the Steelers 457 to 221.
Totally fine.
Also, they're not frauds because I haven't gotten the sense of dominance from them that I got last year. So right now, I think the Ravens are exactly what the Ravens are, which is they're a good football team that's extremely they're flawed. They're not frauds.
Yeah, yeah,
they have flaws that are very noticeable. That like I don't expect them to go and compete against the Chiefs or compete against the Steelers. Or I actually think that like the Titans would match up well against the Ravens still. Like I don't think that the Ravens are going to be that team that you're looking at in the playoffs and be like, they are the prohibitive favorites right now. I think that they're a flawed football team, but everyone kind of sees it coming, meaning that they're not really fraudulent because they're not presenting themselves as being awesome.
Well, all right, so my counterpoint is, well, first of all, I know that they have injuries. Mark Ingram being out is significant. Their wide receivers aren't great. But as I've thought from day one when I've started the Ravens are frauds, and again, it's not that they're a bad team. They're a very, very good team. When I say the word fraud, I'm doing it because they have championship aspirations. They are Super Bowl contenders, and at that point, I say fraud. Until I see it from Lamar Jackson in terms of passing the ball consistently and like moving the ball, not making any mistakes. He has flashes of it. He was a fucking MVP last year. He was incredible. He is incredible, but he was 46% completion today. He got sacked four times. He had two fumbles, two interceptions, and the interceptions were very bad interceptions. Yeah. Those were interceptions.
The
first one was a pick six, but the second one might have even been worse because that's start of the second half. You're up 10. Your defense is dominating. The only thing you can't do is give the Steelers a short field to basically get right back in the game, and that's exactly what he did. That's situational, like, don't make a mistake here, throw the ball away type of interception.
It was set up for the Ravens to come out in the second half and do what the Ravens do.
Steelers didn't play great.
Yeah, they played awful in the first half. Good football.
Yeah, their offense struggled a lot. Their defense is for real.
There was a grapple out there,
like,
too.
Their defense got you know, eaten up in terms of yards, but they made huge plays and they created like havoc when they needed to. And like, you know, that's the Steelers defense is very, very, very good. Ravens defense is also very good, but I'm just until Lamar does it in a spot where it's like, okay, we're going to let you run, but we're going to make you pass and you have to pass consistently, you know, 10 play drives against a good team. Like the Ravens are good enough that they can beat up everyone. When they take the step up to those three or four teams above them, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And when they beat one of them, those teams, I'll think differently.
Well, Lamar is entering the territory of he holds the ball like a loaf of bread. He's getting like that Shady McCoy stuff.
He got hit hard today.
He got hit hard, but he doesn't carry the ball like a good runner normally does. And that's partially like what makes him really, really good is that he is unpredictable and he's able to do stuff that nobody else can do and get away with it. But when you catch him in an instance where he's, you know, he's like pulling his arm back or like taking the ball away from his body, you know, 9 times out of 10, it works out really well for him. And then he makes the other guy like pull their groin and basically spontaneously combust in front of him before walking around him. That 1 time out of 10 that you catch him, you're going to get the ball out.
Yes.
And it happens a lot. And they had good fumble luck at times. Now the fumble luck's turning around.
And so I know what the counterpoint is going to be. Last year, obviously, the Ravens, they went and they beat Seattle in Seattle, which was a very good team. They beat the Patriots, who I think were 8-0 at the time. But again, those games, if you look at it, Lamar threw like 150, 160 yards. He wasn't needed. Like, their offense was so good running the football last year, in large part because of Lamar, that he wasn't needed to throw the ball for 250, 300 yards. The NFL, like, to be an upper echelon team, your quarterback has to be able to have that type of game.
Maybe.
It just does.
Maybe. I don't know. So this game almost shaped up to be the perfect Ravens game where they just come out in the second half and just ran the ball down their throats, then you wouldn't need Lamar to make those big plays to beat a very good football team. So it's possible to beat a dominant football team by, you know, not having to throw the ball more than 20 times or so. But he fucked up.
I don't know,
man. He fucked up a couple times.
I just think of, like, when you get into a game against the Chiefs, like, you can't beat the Chiefs if your quarterback doesn't throw for 300 yards. Right.
Derek Carr had to play the best game of his career by
right,
far.
Exactly. Like that, and that's really what it comes down to. Like, if we want to boil everything that I'm saying down to one statement, it's really just that I don't think this Ravens team can beat, as currently constituted, I don't think this Ravens team can beat this Chiefs team. And that's kind of all that matters. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like when the Patriots were running, you know, were dominant. It didn't matter if you won 12 games. If you couldn't beat the Patriots, it just didn't matter. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this team sucks. It's not like they are a bad team. It's just when you put them up against the best team in the AFC, I do not think they can beat them.
So I don't think that there isn't enough body of evidence to determine whether or not the Ravens are fraudulent, because they haven't presented a case yet. They haven't presented a compelling case.
Two playoff losses?
To say, no, I'm saying this Ravens team. This season has
they
haven't shown us
no
evidence to prove that they should have any expectations, because the best win that they've had so far this year, you'd probably have to say, was week one against the Browns.
But they do have expectations because they have the MVP. And they were the one seed last year.
But
so they definitely have expectations.
But based on this team,
yeah,
they're not. I'm not going to be able to call the Ravens frauds or not frauds until after they play against the Titans on November 22nd.
The game against the Colts next week is actually going to be very interesting, mm-hmm. because that's a tough team to play against in Indianapolis. Like, if they win that game, I'll be like, okay, this seems a little bit, you know,
revenge game for the entire city of Baltimore.
Yeah, that's true. So all right, so let's have the discussion real quick. The Colin Cowherd take. That what was his take? Joe? No,
I thought he said Big Ben is the worst quarterback in the AFC North,
as currently stated. I think I'd still have him above Baker.
You think Burrow is second? You think Burrow's best?
I think it's Lamar 1, Burrow 2, Baker 3, or Ben 3. Ben doesn't look great.
He got his arm worked on today.
He got his arm worked on.
Massage on.
He doesn't
sideline.
Look great. He looks good enough, which is what we said last year when the Steelers were trying to get into the playoffs with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Like, they need just average quarterback play because their defense is that good. Ben is a great quarterback career-wise, but right now he's not playing great football.
No. By the way, he said it was just a funny bone, which that's just very hilarious to me to imagine Big Ben saying my funny bone hurts.
Yeah, he didn't look great today. He really didn't.
Just goes
and he's
into
not
concussion
like,
and jacks off real quick, gets the stranger out there.
He's got a little bit of the Joe Flacco, like just half the offense is just getting pass interferences.
Yeah. He's getting into the I'm gonna underthrow this guy portion of career.
Right.
And something about his shoulders. I don't know if his shoulder pads have gotten wider or maybe he's just accidentally putting on linebacker shoulder pads. I think maybe since he's coming off an injury, even though it's to his elbow,
right.
He's better safe than sorry. I better wear bigger pads on my shoulders this year.
I'm not going to doubt him, though, because he could end up looking great. Big Ben defies all logic.
I would say I'm going to say that Lamar Jackson and Big Ben are tied for number one.
Okay.
And then Baker and Burrow are tied for number two.
I guess
I don't think
you
that there's a worse quarterback.
Who,
I think it's a great division of quarterbacks.
You could do who would you rather have going forward? That's an interesting debate. We could do that another time.
Mm.
That's an interesting debate. I'd probably take Burrow.
Burrow.
Right. It'd probably be Burrow, Lamar, Baker, Ben, just in terms of age.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what he was saying. That could make sense.
Like, given the cap ramifications, all
yeah,
that
just
stuff.
Like,
yeah,
and just, who you're building the next, 3 years off of. All right, next up, Rams-Dolphins. This was a fucking weird-ass game. Tua gets his first win. This is how stupid quarterback wins are, that he gets his first win and he wasn't good. I mean, he had that good touchdown throw, but he was fucking crushed a few times today, and he had 93 yards of offense.
It's also just sad to see Ryan Fitzpatrick on the sidelines with a clipboard.
Yeah.
He gives off no clipboard vibes. He just looks sad.
I know. I know it is sad.
I think that Fitzpatrick should be starting right now. I think they went to Tua too early. Not because of how he played. I could give a shit how Tua played today. He didn't get hurt, which is great.
Yeah.
And he wore an awesome skirt, Lava, whatever it's
that.
Called.
Yeah.
I think more guys should wear skirts.
Yes.
I think that it provides more hip mobility.
R.I.P. Sean Connery.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And it's more comfortable. More breathable.
Yes.
There. But
it looked like he got out of the shower.
Yeah, it looked awesome. Tell me that doesn't look more comfortable. Basically, when you put on pants in the morning, you're essentially putting ace bandages over both legs and just mm-hmm. walking around all day.
Yes.
But I could care less how he looked today. I still think that Fitzpatrick, if you're actually going to be maybe a playoff team,
why not just stick with Fitzpatrick and see where this goes?
Because I agree.
He gives you, I think, a better chance to win most games.
Yep.
Now, in this game, it was Jared Goff just had a case of the oopsies today.
Yeah.
It was a big oopsie game for
Jared
Goff.
It was just a bad game. The Rams' offense is so weird. They can either look so good or just like they've never played before together. Like that, and today was one of those times.
Time zones? Like, was this a time zone game?
I don't know if it was a time. I mean, Sean McVay, we said it was 7-2 against the spread in time zones. The Rams' travel schedule, too, and I'm not trying to just make excuses for our friend Jared, but I totally am. The Rams have had, I feel like they've been on the East Coast every other week.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not?
No, I think they played like two games back to back. They stayed at the Greenbrier.
They
right?
just played Monday Night Football and then had to go all the way to Miami.
Yeah, with the exception of one game at the 49ers, all their road games have been East Coast.
It's very, very bizarre. And guess what? They play the Seahawks in 2 weeks, so they have a bye,
at home.
And then they go to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the weirdest schedule for them. So they keep going crisscrossing and going back and forth. All right, so yeah, the Tua wasn't great. Doesn't really matter. If you watch the game the whole time, you're like, the Rams are going to win this game. They didn't because they just couldn't make like a couple. Like Kai Forbath, when that guy came out, I said it out loud. You guys heard me. He has the skinniest arms. He was in that perfect spot where the sun was shining in his face. And I said, this guy has no chance of missing a kick.
Yeah, he's what you think of. Whenever Mike Ditka talks about some kicker, he's the person that Mike Ditka is picturing inside his own head.
I think that if you gave him a 10-pound weight, it would cripple him.
He would know. He would blow away.
Yeah.
He would like, and just roll it. He would just follow the weight, just hold on to it, and it would just take him
you
down
could
the
drown
field, downhill.
Him. Yeah.
Yes.
If you just put a 10-pound weight on his
head. Yeah, if you just throw him into a river right now, if he's wearing shoes, they're pretty much like he's wearing cement boots.
He's done.
So
the Rams, that game was very weird. The Dolphins got like basically dominated yardage-wise.
Kai should just not be a name of a professional athlete.
Surfer.
Well, I was going to say like maybe like a yoga instructor that fucks your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Kai.
Kai's got cool guy vibes, not kicker.
Not kicker vibes.
Nerd kicker.
Yeah.
All right, Jets Chiefs. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Patrick Mahomes is incredible. Patrick Mahomes doing his underhand shovel pass is so unfair.
It was kind of
so cool.
It was kind of fucked up that the Chiefs faked a punt against the Jets.
I like it.
It's kind of fucked
up. Fuck Adam Gase. Adam Gase, we talked about Matt Patricia doing the coaching quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase, the Jets were frisky in the first half. Like, they were a little frisky. And
you only say that because I think you bet on the Chiefs to cover
they
the
just
first
barely
half
did.
Line and they
no,
barely
but they,
did. Yeah.
If you said that the game was going to be a 12-point game after the first half, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of frisky. Like, they were moving the ball. They were only getting field goals. But the second half, they got 63 total yards and 2 first downs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good coaching, Adam Gase.
Well, I think they just game planned this entire game to try to stop Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Just being like, we're not going to let this guy beat us. Because he came from our team. He disrespected you
Mission
guys.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. He had 6 carries for 7 yards, 1.2 yards per carry. So I honestly think that if you're Greg Williams, you're treating this like you won. You did your job.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you can blame Adam Gase to the reporters as an unnamed source.
That's all Greg Williams needs is like one reason why it's not his fault.
Yep.
And then he'll be totally happy with that. So he went in this, like, as long as Le'Veon Bell did not score, you know, 2 touchdowns and have 80 receiving yards and 110 rushing yards, Greg Williams is going to be happy. So mission accomplished. He shut him down. He did his job. Now it's time for the offense to kick it in a hyperdrive and start doing theirs.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, Greg Williams definitely walked away being like, good job, dude.
When was
you
the last time
crushed that?
When was the last time the Jets scored more than 10 points?
Never.
Oh, against the Broncos Thursday night.
Yeah, the game
Thursday
where
night.
Darnold ran
that
touchdown.
That was hyperdrive. That's also Flacco.
Crazy Mahomes stat. He has so like I said, he's played 38 games, regular season games. He has 3 passing touchdowns and 0 picks in a half 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
10 times.
They scored more than 10 3 of their first 4 games.
Whoa, Jake. That's actually big. But now they don't. Okay, before we get to the afternoon games.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Chargers Broncos. Drew Lock back.
Drew Lock Moxie. This is a Moxie off, baby.
I'm gonna give Drew Lock credit for the game winning drive. It wasn't like a great drive by him, but I don't think he had a pass over like 14 yards.
He had like a 20-yard pass interference,
and he missed a couple of wide open receivers. But a win's a win, and the Chargers are. Man, it's so sad. Mm-hmm. They have had 38 one-score losses since 2015.
That's since 2015?
They have 49 total. 38 of their 49 losses are one-score losses. That's staggering.
That's insane.
That is staggering.
To me, when you say a number like 38,
yes.
I thought you were going to say like 2002.
No, since 2015. PFT. They have, in the last 2 years, so year and a half,
mm-hmm.
they have had 14 one-score losses. That's the last year and a half. They are 3-14 in one-score games in the last year and a half. Think about that for a second.
That's crazy.
It's mind-boggling how they're able to do this.
I think we've been talking about them and how weird and heartbreaking their losses are, the weird types of games. They're the Seahawks, if the Seahawks ended up losing games. They're like, if you're a footy fan, they're like the English national team.
Yep.
Essentially just finding new ways to lose games. They're the first team in NFL history to blow four leads of 16 or more points in four straight games.
It's crazy. They're like more sad than the Falcons. I know that's even insane to say, but the way they lose these one score games. Like, look at their losses this year. They're 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
They lost in overtime by 3 to the Chiefs. They lost by 5 to the Panthers. They had the ball, I think, to score to end the game. They lost by 7 to the Bucks, where they were, remember that game? They were up at going into halftime. They're going to be up like 21, and they had that fumble.
Yeah.
They lost by 3 in overtime to the Saints, and they lost today by 1. Basically handing the game over with the Drew Lock 84-yard drive. It's insane how they lose games.
Do you think that there are any Los Angelinos out there that were not Rams fans, but they got these two teams that just moved into town? Do you think anybody thought to themselves, like, I wonder which team I'm going to pick, and they picked the Chargers? Just out of nowhere. Or is it only people that have some sort of connection with San Diego?
I don't know, man, because it's sad. It is.
Like, can you imagine if you were a Falcons fan, or if you were a resident of the city of Atlanta, and there were two football teams,
right,
and you chose to remain a Falcons fan? It boggles the mind.
No, it boggles the mind. And that game, the Broncos, in the first half, they looked like the worst team in football. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought there was 0% chance the Chargers would lose that game. They gave up that huge run to Philip Lindsay. They gave up, I think, a huge touchdown to Jerry Jeudy. Like, it's crazy. And we thought it was Phil Rivers. It's just the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers are the Chargers. I don't know what you can do to fix who they are.
I think you got to burn down the stadium. Burn down the old stadium.
Last four games, blown leads of 17, 17, 16. They still won on 21 today.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And, like, thinking about what the Chargers, like, even...
You know,
yeah,
what
I'm actually
going to
say it. The Chargers are sadder than the Falcons, because now I'm thinking about it. Like, of course, the Falcons... No, wait, no. Hold on. The Falcons obviously had 28-3 in the Super Bowl, but the Chargers, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback, Phil Rivers, and one of the greatest running backs of all time, LaDainian Tomlinson, in their prime, and they had some seasons where they were, like, the best team in the league, and they'd never won anything.
The Falcons had an MVP, and then they had possibly the best rushing quarterback of all time for a while, and... Then they got to the Super Bowl, which they lost because their Walter Payton Man of the Year went out and got a hooker the night before the game.
I don't know, man.
That's pretty heartbreaking. I mean, I could go on with some stats about
the Chargers, too.
The
Chargers lost by like 40 in their Super Bowl. I don't know. The Chargers, I'll have to look into it. I'm just thinking, like, the way they've lost games have been so, so painful. And the way that, like, if you look at, like, who they had with LT and, oh, man.
I think
Chargers. This is becoming very sad. I don't even know if there's.
I think part of it also has to do with the fact that you can look at the Chargers, and every time they lose, even back when they were in San Diego, be like, well, they get to go back to a sweet house.
That absolutely matters. You're absolutely right. Like, go surfing after.
Exactly. Like, their lifestyle. They don't. They don't feel like losers.
The Chargers, the one time they went to the AFC, maybe it was, I think they might have gone a couple times, but remember Phil Rivers had a fucking torn ACL.
Played on a torn ACL. Was that Nate Kading? Was that the Nate Kading game?
Dude, they were 14-2, 11-5, 13-3, 12-4. Fuck, those
then they fired Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Brought in Norville.
Man, the Chargers.
Yeah, it's tough. Don't get me wrong. I think that what they have to do is just, they need to burn Boltman's costume at the stake.
Yes.
Like, tie it up like it's Joan of Arc.
Yes.
Put a bunch of kindling underneath it.
Yeah.
Maybe even, like, rig some sort of robotic thing on the jaw so it looks like it's screaming when you light it on fire. And just fucking send that thing up in blazes.
And the Broncos are frisky.
Yes.
And the reason why they're frisky is Vic Fangio is such a good defensive coach. I think their defensive coordinator actually didn't coach today because he had
COVID. He had Coco, yeah.
And Vic Fangio's like, I got it.
Fangio looked healthy as ever. Went out there with a giant Band-Aid over his entire nose.
Yes.
It looked like he pissed a kidney stone out of his nostril.
But I think the Broncos, they might officially be in the frisky category where it's like, you don't ever count out the Broncos.
Don't count out Drew Lock.
They're 3-4.
Drew Lock, he went from having moxie to now it's like he can win you a game.
Yeah.
If you need him to.
And they're playing.
Don't ask him to do it too much.
And they're playing the Falcons next week, so they could go to 4-4.
There you go.
Whoa.
There you go. Drew Moxie Lock. The last drive was good. And then it was nice to see Drew Lock dancing around doing his little like.
Yep.
Who's he rap to? I'm looking at Bubba like Bubba knows. Jeezy? Yeah. So he was doing his like little Jeezy dance again. But there were a lot of Drew Lock haters out there in the first half.
Yes.
I want you to know. I saw you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a nice drive. All right.
I think the entire fourth quarter he played pretty well.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. He came back. He looked bad and he came back.
It helps that Jerry Jeudy is a fucking monster.
Yes. So good. So good. All right, Seahawks 49ers. So DK Metcalf, I don't know what else to say about him. The Seahawks are fucking, the fact that like Tyler Lockett had the game he had against the Cardinals and then DK Metcalf is like, now my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that run, that pass he took for a touchdown was like prime Odell. Odell would take like a slant and it looked like he was jogging and everyone was in slow motion? He took that pass, like a 7-yard pass, I think it was like a curl route, and then just ran through their entire defense, looking like he was jogging, going by everyone.
Well, that's what's crazy is he's gotten so good at running the straight line 9 route and just burning everybody that the cornerbacks, he doesn't have to be good at doing the curls anymore because the cornerbacks are so afraid that he's going to keep running.
Right.
Or that he's going to chase after them and tackle them in the open field. They're just going to assume that he's running towards the end zone.
Yeah.
So he comes back. It was a pretty good route. Don't get me wrong. And then the cornerback kind of fell down. And then DK, much to everyone's surprise, ran to the side directly across the field and then made another 90 degree. He made 180 degrees worth of turns on one play.
It was
incredible. For him, it's like he's got to be dizzy after that.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, he's special. And the Seahawks, like their defense kind of figured it out a little bit. I don't know. The Seahawks are very, very good. And then on the other side, the 49ers, I think this is just going to be the 49ers all year where they lose a game, get injured. They'll probably lose by like 50 next week, and then they'll win like 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, the 49ers are back.
We skipped over C.J. Beathard today. We're like, we're going right to Cumboy Nick Mullins.
Yeah, and he did okay. He had, he had a couple touchdown drives.
Yeah. I think
thanks for the over.
So when Jimmy G goes out injured, it's always nice because Nick Mullins' ceiling is like a 65%, maybe 70% of Jimmy G.
Yep.
So they improved when he came in as the backup for him. Who knows how injured Jimmy G is. And then Greg Kittle obviously going to the locker room. Yeah, I think he's okay.
I don't know.
So I hand up.
I hope he's okay.
This is going to shock you guys. I missed this one too. I thought this is my other whomping of the week.
Yeah.
And the 49ers.
They got whomped.
They got whomped physically.
Yeah.
Physically, they got pushed around a little bit.
And the 49ers have a tough stretch coming up. So I don't know. Like, they have the Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills. That's going to be – this could – with their injuries, the fact that they're 4-4 right now is pretty incredible with all their injuries. But it feels like they came back after that Dolphins game and beat the Rams and the Patriots. Can they come back again?
If they played the Steelers' schedule, I think that they would be probably like 6-1, 5-2.
Steelers schedule? Steelers just beat the Titans and the fucking Ravens.
Yeah, but besides those games.
Okay.
I think the Niners are just... I mean, they're kind of fucked. They got schedule fucked this year.
But hold on. Their wins are the Jets and the Giants are two of their wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've also gotten to play the Eagles and the Dolphins. So I wouldn't say they're totally schedule
fucked. I think they're schedule fucked. They've won all the games that they're supposed to win, but then...
They should have beaten the Eagles.
Probably.
And probably the Dolphins.
Maybe.
They were like 10-point favorites in that game.
Maybe. I don't
think they've been scheduled
I think the 49ers are going to be that team that I get stuck on all year, where I think that they could come out and beat literally anybody in the NFL.
No, they absolutely can. They have not been schedule fucked. They are about to get schedule fucked. They have not had a tough schedule up to this point, but they are about to. They're about to have a fucking really tough schedule. Yeah, the Seattle's just fucking good, and they're so much fun to play. I wish they were in primetime all the time. All right. That is all the games. You want to get to Dion?
Let's do it. That's all the games?
Yeah, that was all the games.
Oh. Happy No Nut November. Are we doing that this year? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, we're going to do No Nut November. What, is that not all the games? What, Jake?
That's it.
What are you going to say, Jake?
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football is the game, too. Yeah.
Oh, also the Bears against the Saints. Bears played the Saints.
No, that didn't happen.
It did happen. It was almost a tie. I was hoping for a tie. I think America was rooting for a tie. Or at least,
you think that was all the games for a second?
No.
Yeah, you did. For a second.
Because I think we do this. I think we literally do this every single week when the Bears lose.
No, like, we usually talk about them earlier.
That's it.
If they play at 1 o'clock?
Everybody wanted a tie. I wish there was a tie, or at least I wish that Big Cat had like a more heartbreaking way to lose. Instead, you just kind of lost.
No, it was actually wet fart. You know what, though? It actually kind of was heartbreaking because, well, this Bears team is just so they are not good enough to be like good, like for me to be like, ooh, this team is good, and they're not bad enough to just straight up suck. So they just put you in that zone where it's like, every single game, I just go up and down a roller coaster being like, oh, here we go. That first half, up until they went into prevent defense for God knows what reason, they played a perfect first half. And I was like, wow, this Bears team, this is legit. Then they suck. They come out in the second half. They fucking delay a game, punt. Javon Wims fights a guy without him looking.
What? No.
Everything falls. Allen Robinson loses his mind. And I'm like, no, this Bears team sucks.
He tapped him on the face mask, got his attention, and said, I'm about to hit you. And then he hit him twice. Yeah. So the sucker punch tribunal rules it not a sucker punch.
That happens. And I'm like, wow, this is the worst coach team. This is a fucking joke of a team. Allen Robinson's like, he like left the sideline, the offensive sideline, to like be upset because he can't believe that he's got another quarterback that can't get him the ball. God bless him for just like being there every week. And then they come back and they tie the game, and fucking Cairo Santos is now like an asset. He's like good. Yeah. I actually feel good about a kicker.
Uh-oh.
And then
that ends poorly.
Yeah, and then
might want to mark that timestamp right.
And then
there,
they almost sacked Drew Brees like 16 times in overtime and lose. And it's just and I said this is why it was painful. Because when the Cole Kmet play happened, which was a very lucky, fortunate bounce for the Bears to have that called forward progress down when he clearly fumbled, I said out loud, well, at least it wasn't a painful death.
Yep.
And then we had like 25 more minutes of football.
If you could watch every single Bears game this season without any knowledge of what has happened so far this season, so you, like every game you're actually 0-0 in your own head, you would probably be happier because you'd just be like, this team stinks.
Right.
And then if you got a win, you'd be like, okay, that's lucky that we got a win. But the fact that you've accumulated a number of lucky wins means that you're always kind of in on it. You're always kind of like
5-3. I'm not going to apologize. Yeah. 5-3 is still in on it. And
please apologize.
I feel so bad for this fucking defense. This defense is so good. This defense kept on holding the Saints to field goals. This defense balls out every single week. And the offense just sucks. It sucks. They can't block for shit. They like try to run the ball and they can't run the ball. Matt Nagy and his stupid fucking dork plays suck.
I feel
Nick
bad.
Nick Foles sometimes, like, I think you just don't put him in until you need a drive at the end of the game, because there are times where it's like he'll just take a 20-step sprint back drop and throw an interception. You're like, where's this ball going, Nick?
I feel bad for Matt Nagy because that little hard count play.
He's a fucking
doofus. No, I feel bad for him because he isn't aware that he's a doofus. And also, I don't think it's his fault that he's a doofus. I think
Get rid of the visor, Matt Nagy. I think
he's just naturally dumb. That little hard count that he pulled in the third quarter,
yeah,
it was like, what, fourth and four?
Fourth and two.
Fourth and two in at like the start of the third quarter.
Yes.
From his own 20-yard line, 16-yard line. Sent his offense out there, had them run a play to try to draw the defense offsides, which they obviously didn't do. Then, best case scenario, you have to take either delay a game penalty, back you up 5 yards for no reason, or you burn a timeout at the start of the third quarter. And I feel bad for Matt Nagy because in his head, he was doing something insanely smart. Like, that's in Matt Nagy's brain, so that is something that a smart person would do. So his idea of what a smart person is so far from actually being what a smart person really is that I don't think it's his fault. I think he's just got an extremely low IQ.
He is essentially playing every game. He's playing chess, and he says to himself, checkmate, and then the other team's like, what? Like, you just left your queen exposed. Checkmate to you, or king. King exposed. I don't play chess. King exposed.
Yeah, king.
Checkmate to you. And then it happened. He's like, what happened? What just happened? I thought I had checkmate.
Yeah.
Like
Queen's Gambit Fire Show.
Queen's Gambit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to read an Akeem Hicks quote.
I'd say that's like he's playing chess against a dog, but he falls asleep every game and time expires on him.
It just sucks, man. It sucks. I can't. This team is so, they are such a fucking like parody of every Bears team where it's just painful to watch them play offense. And so enjoyable to watch them play defense. And when you put it together, it's such a shitty, like, this is really the only thing. You just need Devin Hester. That's really the only thing that, like, is missing that, like, could make this a full-on Bears team where it's like, oh, okay. Now, really, all we want is to play defense and get punt returns.
Your bright spot. Offense. Yeah, when your defense does, even when you happen to give up a touchdown, it's also, well, guess what? They're going to kick the ball to Devin Hester next.
Right, exactly. So Akeem Hicks said afterwards, you got to let it hurt sometimes. You got to let it hurt. So that's it. And it hurt. I can't believe I keep like doing this where I keep buying back into this team when I know they're not that good. Mm-hmm. But their defense is. So, and like I said about the Packers, I'd rather play man football and suck then play soft ass, candy ass football.
That's right.
And win a bunch of games.
Is that an Ellie Goulding song?
Yeah.
Gotta let it hurt. Exactly. Gotta let it hurt.
To let it hurt. Also, Troy Aikman, like, can we make sure that Troy Aikman doesn't ever call another Bears game? Because he was physically in pain watching it.
He even said
at one point, like, this is so frustrating to watch.
Well, it's because it was at Soldier Field. He's like, this is a tremendous waste of taxpayer money.
Yes. He couldn't fucking handle it. He actually said that. He's like, this is frustrating. The Bears still can't get plays in. Also, we still can't get plays in.
Right. The headset was broken.
It's crazy.
I want to put some respect to Sean Payton, though, because the timeout that he called was an extremely relatable one. The one where Cole Kmet fumbled and Payton calls a timeout.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he can do to overturn the play because it was the refs ruled that his forward progress had stopped. So you can't go back and challenge that and say, no, after that, there was a fumble. We recovered. But Sean Payton just essentially called a timeout because he was mad.
Frustrated.
He called a timeout because he was mad, and then he wanted to make the refs watch the replay on the stadium jumbotrons so that they could see exactly how mad he was getting over their mistake, which I always love it when a coach does that. I am a big, big detractor when it comes to coaches taking a timeout to think things over.
Yep.
I think that you should just go with what your balls tell you in that situation. Don't take a timeout. You're just going to overthink it. But I'm a huge proponent of calling a timeout just because you're angry and wanting a ref to know exactly how angry they are and how badly they're fucking you over right
now. Yes,
yes. One more 4 p.m. games for the Bears, so you should be clear of Aikman.
All right. Whew. Yeah. As for his own sake, I just have one question for the Saints. Good win for the Saints. Hard win. But do Saints fans kind of see what everyone else sees and that Drew Brees is like, there are some throws sometimes where he just like, there'll be a guy wide open 10 yards down the field and he'll just throw it in the ground.
Using pitcher lingo, he doesn't have his best stuff anymore. He's not out there shoving.
The Saints have a ceiling and it is Drew Brees' arm. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been that way for the last couple of years. And I don't know. I just like, he did enough to win the game. And the Bears had some baffling defense at times, like with that, you know, like I said, going prevent at the end of the first quarter or in first half. But that's got to still make you a little nervous because I don't know if the Saints are good enough to have every game be in the dome, and that's
well, the
like,
dome's different when
there's
it's
no
fans,
but
people.
Still, it's there's no weather and everything, so like I feel like old quarterbacks aren't going to do well in the weather. In December.
What's going to happen, though, with Michael Thomas? Is he coming back? Are they going to trade
him? Oh, yeah. Javon Wims definitely got paid by Michael Thomas to punch C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who wanted to – so we were with our newest hire at Barstool, Ben Mintz, who's a Louisiana guy, Ole Miss grad, and he said that C.J. Gardner-Johnson tried to legally change his name to C.D. Deuce.
C.D. Deuce, you remember him?
Yeah.
In the preseason?
Sick. Yeah. I like that. C.D. Deuce.
Either that or Michael Thomas was doing scout team whims.
Yes.
And prepared him extremely well by sucker punching.
That was so weird.
It was really weird.
What the fuck was he doing?
There has to be something that happened, right?
Like, what was he doing?
Well, so I kept my eye on, what's his name, Gardner?
C.D. Deuce.
C.D. Deuce. I kept my eye on C.D. Deuce for the rest of the game. And after every single play was over, he does something that makes somebody want to punch him after every play.
Yes.
He doesn't have a punchable face. We looked up his face. His face looks perfectly fine.
It's like, a punchable air about him.
After plays.
Yeah.
And so I guess right before that, he like went up and did he poke Allen Robinson?
I think so.
He just like poked him, which is annoying as shit.
Yep.
If somebody gives you a wet willy, you should be allowed to stab them in the throat, actually.
Yep. Agreed.
Like, you need to escalate that shit yesterday.
Yep.
But I don't know if Wims was going up to just, like, take him out because he saw the wet willy or the finger poke or the point.
I don't know.
Or if he was just like, Michael Johnson or Michael Thomas paid me, or if he was like, you tried to snatch my chain. I don't know. There was some serious violence.
It was very weird. But yeah, the Bears are just, they're not good. But when I say that, I mean, I said it right after Monday Night Football. I was like, I love Bears plus four against Saints. They covered. I saw the line. Bears plus six against the Titans. They're going to cover that.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They're a fucking good defense.
They might not win.
They'll
cover.
They'll be in every game, and I will keep believing, and I will keep thinking that they're like just going to turn the corner, and that offense is going to click at some point. Matt Nagy's going to be a genius, and the line's going to block, and Nick Foles is going to be Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. None of that is going to happen, but in the back of my brain, my stupid dog brain, I think it's still possible.
You know what? Matt Nagy's best hope right now is just to randomly put quarterbacks out there on any given drive.
I think they should actually go back to Mitch.
You've got a chance. Chance at putting Nick Foles out there randomly in like the middle of a third quarter,
dude,
where it's one of the good Nick Foles drives. And same thing with Mitch. Like, put him out there in the first quarter and have him do some more mobile stuff.
I think they should go back to Mitch. Yes, because
cut the field in half.
Mitch at least can use his feet, and it's like I don't think Nick Foles is playing. Right now, Nick Foles is not playing better than what Mitch Trubisky was playing.
Well, plus, if you keep switching quarterbacks, you keep getting that spark.
Yes.
Right? You need a spark by putting the backup quarterback.
That's true. All right. Let's get to Dion, then we'll wrap up real quick with Football Guy of the Week and Who's Back of the Week.
This interview with Dion is brought to you by our good friends.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Here's Dion.
All right, Coach Prime here with us, as always, Sunday night. Recapping week 8, a great week 8. Let's start with the biggest game of the weekend. The Steelers go into Baltimore and win a gutsy game. Like, that was a game that if you looked at the halftime, the Steelers looked a little lost on offense, didn't think that they had any rhythm. They come out in the second half, they win that game. Your thoughts on that, and maybe give me some thoughts on Lamar the thrower not having his best game.
Well, I'm upset with Lamar, the runner, fumbling the ball in the red zone, which was game-changing, game-altering. It was a wrap. When something like that happens, it's not going to end well. Now you're behind, and you got to throw to come back, and that makes you one-dimensional, and that's tough. These guys are not a one-dimensional team that can throw the ball when expected. They're not like that. The only way they have success throwing the ball is the objective of run. When you think and run, they throw. When you think and throw, they run. They keep you off balance, and they didn't have that today.
Yeah. No, and those two interceptions he threw were very, very bad. Obviously, the pick six was really bad. I saw that their offensive lineman, who I think just got paid – his name is escaping me, got hurt. Are you worried at all about the Ravens offensive line? Because that's kind of where it all starts, and they miss Marshall Yanda, Hall of Famer, who retired after last year. But is that a bigger issue? It was Ronnie Stanley got carted off. Is that a bigger issue going forward where you're like, they might not be able to do what they want to do in terms of running the ball, running the ball, running the ball?
No, the issue for me going forward is they're going to be a good offense. They're going to control the clock. They're going to keep that going because of Lamar and his running prowess. But defensively, they played good, but they weren't lights out. Mm-hmm. They made some true mistakes defensively that they don't normally make. This has been a really dominant defensive team, and they didn't show that. They didn't display that today. They did in the first half, but not in the second half.
Mm-hmm. What about up in the NFC North? We had the Packers and the Vikings. Vikings win 28-22.
Wow.
They had the perfect formula that we like to talk about on this show. A great Vikings blueprint for victory is just limiting Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. So they fed Dalvin Cook. He had 30 carries. Cousins attempted 14 passes, completed 11 of them. So he had an okay game. But is this straight up like an indictment of the Packers defense, or is this one of my favorite words, an aberration? Are we going to see the good Green Bay Packers next week?
No, you're going to see the good Packers. I think it was their due for a letdown, and they underestimated the Vikings. You got to understand, interdivisional rivalries are everything. You can throw the records out of the book, but the Vikings have been laying down all year long, so we did not expect this to happen up under no circumstance. But they were prepared. Zim had them prepared. They went out there. They did what they had to do, come back with the victory.
Mm-hmm. Dude, would you say that the Vikings are the best bad team in the NFL?
Ooh.
That's a pretty good statement.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna say that. That's a good statement.
We can throw out a couple other teams. Give us your best bad team, because I actually think the Broncos today, they look dead in the first half.
What did I say?
And they come back and win that game. That's a very good, horrible team.
You guys try to belittle me and make me feel bad. When the Cowboys have to run the Wildcat in the pros, there's a problem. You guys try to belittle me and you try to make me feel bad because I told you that was going to be a really good game and it was going to come down to the wire.
Deion
did
say
I not
that.
Say that?
He did say that. He did say that. So are the Broncos on your very good, bad team list?
They are a good, bad team. The Broncos are a good, bad team. The best good, bad team has to be, without a shadow of a doubt, it's a tie between the Cowboys
Ooh.
And the Falcons.
Ooh.
They're good and bad.
I would not count the Cowboys as being a good bad. What games have you been watching the Cowboys? The Cowboys are a shitty bad team.
Yeah. The Bengals are a good bad team. The Bengals are a very good bad team.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Because, see, you expect the Bengals to lose, and when they mess around and win, you say, oh, man, they're good.
They've been in every game, though. They have been in every game. They have a bad offensive line, a lot of injuries, and they beat a Titans team that 2 weeks ago everyone was saying, look out for the Titans. The Titans are going to be an AFC, you know, contender. What are your thoughts on the Titans kind of falling back to earth here with a Steelers loss that everyone can stomach and a Bengals loss that you can absolutely not stomach?
The Titans are just uncertain. You just don't know who they're going to be from week to week. You don't know their true identity. You think they're running team. No, but the quarterback has been really playing really good football, throwing the ball. You think they're a dominant defensive team. Then to bless you, then they give up certain things defensively. You just don't know who they are. They truly don't have an identity. And that's not a good sign for a good team. They don't have an identity. You can't count on nothing that they do right now.
What about sticking with the AFC West right now? If we're just going with – let's throw Patrick Mahomes out the window, okay? Let's say we're just talking about Derek Carr, Herbert, and then Drew Locke. Between those three quarterbacks, going off like their current situation right now, I'm talking the salary that they make, you know, the cap implications, all that stuff. Out of those three guys, who would you want to be your quarterback right now?
I'll take Carr because I know what I'm going to get. I don't know what those other guys are going to do. I don't. I'll take Carr.
Would you take Herbert over Locke right now?
Yep, in a heartbeat.
I mean, that was a good game, a good comeback game for Drew Locke. He still wasn't super accurate, but it was a good – I mean, the fact that they came back was impressive. So we talked before, there was a ton of wind today. There was a ton of weather. From a player's perspective, can you rank, like – the weather and how much it sucks and how it can affect, like, whether it be wind, rain, or snow, how it affects game plans and just wanting to be out there.
Okay, like a team like Kansas City who throw, wind or rain, or snow, I wouldn't pick them. Like a team like the Saints who played every game in a dome except this one, if it was really, really cold and windy, I wouldn't have picked it. When you guys told me what the temperature was going to be, I was waiting on that. I wanted to know what the temperature was going to be. I wouldn't pick them. Mm-hmm. Like a Florida team going to play in East Coast or somewhere where it's really Midwest and it's really cold, I don't pick them in those type times of year. I don't pick them in November.
And you were a long-sleeves guy,
too.
It has
ramifications.
Yeah, you were a long-sleeves guy.
I was a long-sleeves guy. I think I played in one game that was like 15 or 12 degrees. That was in Green Bay, and it was horrible. They beat the brakes off us. It was miserable. Couldn't wait to get back on the bus.
Did you ever think about becoming a no-sleeves guy? Like, weren't you afraid that people would look at you and
Never.
Be like, Deion's soft?
Nope. They didn't call me with 6-inch zones. May break my bones, and words never hurt me.
All right, so can you tell, though? Like, could you tell when you go to Green Bay and it's 15 degrees, can you look around in the locker room and be like, nah, we don't want this. Like, this is not.
I didn't go. No. It didn't wait until we got to the locker room. We got there the day before, and they wanted us to walk out there on the field just to get a feel of it. We didn't get off the bus. Like, no. No. You know how the specialists go out first to catch punts? Like, no, I'm not going out there. I'm not going out there until it's time to play. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Why?
See, that's the type of stuff that I love to, like, learn about, because that's the human element of watch out when we get to November and December. These teams – You can pretend it doesn't matter, but it absolutely does. It's a warm weather team going up north. They don't want to play in that.
They don't want to. You know how you're big on the little hands? I always mess with you about the little. Okay, you got to be big on if some quarterbacks cannot play in the cold. Cannot play. Do not pick them. Like, that's the kind of stuff you got to really check their records. When it's cold, they cannot perform.
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do, like,
be worth the darn.
Like where they're from? Like a Cali boy can't play in the cold, mostly?
Yep.
Did you have those conversations with Troy? Like, hey, Troy, how are you going to be able to play? It's like 30 degrees outside. You're used to, 70 degrees every single day.
Well, he had 5 Pro Bowlers on the line and a guy named Emmitt Smith, so it made it easy for him.
That's true.
That is true. Very true.
I'm sure that you saw it today, but there was a skirmish. The boys were getting chippy today in the Saints-Bears game, and it was the dude C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's a guy that actually got punched in the face by Michael Thomas in practice, and he got into it with Javon Wims. We've asked you if you've ever punched somebody wearing a helmet. We should ask you from, like, the cornerback's perspective, have you ever been punched, like, in that ear hole when it's cold outside? Because I imagine that would sting a little bit.
I've never been punched, period.
What?
I have punched several men.
You've never been hit
too fast?
Oh no! I too much respect. I don't give off that vibe that you can try me like that. I'm good with these things, as we say in the hood. But no, I've swung on many men.
I feel like
against some old fight tape.
Yes,
I get some old fight tape out for you.
I need to hit you. I think I need to be the first person to ever punch Deion Sanders.
We would be in court because I would pay. I would pay. I'm playing back.
That'd be worth it. You'd be like,
we would go to court.
How much is this asking for?
I'm going to go ahead and write you the check right now because I'm swinging back.
Oh, man. We should at least try it.
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable that you've never been punched. I've been punched several times.
We should try it. No, okay, we'll try it. Yeah.
Because
we...
you provoked that. You guys provoked that.
Yeah.
No, I just figure everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yes, Dave does provoke that.
Yeah. He definitely provokes. Dave provokes someone to palm his face. He wants somebody to palm his face and just throw his head. Just throw it.
All right. So my last question is, so coming away from week 8, we still got a couple games. We're watching Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. But give me like your top 3 teams, and has it changed at all? Because we had the Packers lose, obviously. The Ravens lost. The Seahawks bounced back nicely. So what's your top 3?
My top 3 is KC.
Okay.
Is number 1. I would say Seahawks probably are number 2.
Okay.
Packers is 3. They're still up there. I don't care about that.
I hear the Bucks.
Aberration.
No, the Packers is still 3. And then it would have to go between probably the Steelers and Baltimore. It's probably four. They're still right there with one another.
Well, one team won today and one team lost, so.
Yeah, but they're still right there. They're still right there.
Okay.
Because that game could have went either way. It could have went either way.
Yeah, but it didn't. And the Ravens have played two big games against the Chiefs and the Steelers, and they've lost.
But you got to say, with that game, you got to say, okay, they came down the stretch, and these minute mistakes, they can fix that. These are fixable things that they lost. These are very fixable things that they lost with. So, really, sometimes the better team don't win. It's the better team on that day that made all the plays that wins. Mm-hmm. But the better team, to me, today didn't win.
All right, Dion, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you later this week. And, go Cowboys.
Gucci Danucci.
All right, let's wrap up. We got Football Guy of the Week and then a quick Who's Back. Football Guy of the Week is brought to you by our friends. Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Who's back of the week to end the show? Hank, are you over it?
Yeah, I'm over it.
You needed a moment. We've all been there.
It was more because there was no sound, so I just couldn't believe what was happening.
Did
it
we get an crazy explanation behind that fumble?
I mean, we've been recording the entire time. It was a bunch of bullshit.
It was bullshit. It was bullshit.
But, yeah, I moved on. Whatever. My Who's Back of the Week is Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of got swept under the rug. I guess it happened on Friday, so we didn't talk about it. But the Nets, I mean, the Nets are going to win the championship. How do they not?
Why?
Steve Nash, they signed Mike D'Antoni as an assistant.
Oh, that's great.
Amari Stoudemire. So they're going to be doing, like, the Nets are just going to be running, like, scrimmages against the Nets and, like, the coaches versus the players. And it's going to be a heated battle.
You know what I like about this is you're taking Mike D'Antoni and you're just kind of taking away, like, all the day-to-day real boring types of responsibilities that he has when he's a head coach and just being like, go come up with the weirdest shit that you can do as an assistant.
Yeah.
He's like their director of creativity. He's going to come up with the most fucked up styles of offense ever to bring to Steve Nash. And so I'm looking forward to the Nets this year.
This also just has the makings of like a Hollywood movie ending where it's like these guys revolutionized basketball. They never won a title together. And now they've won a title together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely what's going to happen. That's it.
For Who's Back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it.
You want to talk about?
Nothing else.
How was your weekend?
It was good. We talked about it at the top of the show.
Yeah.
What did we talk about again?
Norman's
penis. Oh, your dog's penis.
Yeah.
Norman's penis.
Yeah. How many?
Follow Teeny Weeny Norman on Instagram. The Instagram handle's a joke.
So here's the deal with Norman. He's a small dog, but so it's kind of tricky to figure out like how big is the penis exactly because
true.
He's a little guy. In inches, how big exactly are we talking about with your dog's dick here, Hank?
I don't know. 6 inches, 7 inches.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You guys saw it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
He's blessed.
Huge, huge.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed.
Huge penis.
Huge dick. Really big.
I'm happy for him.
Your dog is a legend.
Yeah.
All right, PFT, blessed. Who's your Who's Back?
My Who's Back of the Week is saving lives. Wear a mask.
Oh.
Vote.
Nice.
Vote.
Vote.
Wear a mask.
And vote.
And vote.
And vote. Twitter's going to be fun this week.
Yep. Should be great. Should be great. We actually have a huge episode coming on Wednesday.
Dude, Twitter's going to be so much fun this week. All right, my Who's Back. I have two. One is
I actually do have a real Who's Back.
Wait, whoa. Are you saying voting and wearing a mask isn't real?
Yeah.
Wow.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I have another Who's Back of the Week. Okay, fine. You know what?
You implied that that wasn't real, PFD. Are you saying don't wear a mask and don't vote?
You know what? Vote. Wear a mask.
And vote.
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 Wear a mask while you're voting.
Vote.
Where, if you
get
wear,
out the vote.
Wear a mask while you're voting.
Mm-hmm. Or don't. If you had to pick one or the other?
I would say I would prefer that you
wear a vote. Wear the sticker after you vote, so we know you voted.
You vote for masks.
They should give away they should do the mask. That's a sticker instead. I voted mask.
Oh, just a huge one?
Yeah.
Or just a sticker?
We should have sold that.
How about a sticker that says vote and you put it over your own face so you shut the fuck up about telling people to vote or wear a mask?
Or a sticker that says my mask is up here. Ooh. So when you look at your chest, yeah.
I would also wear a sticker of Normie.
Yeah, I would too.
Mm-hmm. We should make buttons.
We should.
Or merch, yeah.
Yeah, condoms. We should. I would absolutely wear... As long as the eyes were blocked out so we didn't know who it was,
yep.
A dog boner,
uh-huh.
Just to shock people.
Yeah. Well, we should make like a dog sweater for Normie that says, I'd rather be wearing a Magnum. Yeah.
Maybe we'll make a Christmas sweater for him.
Yeah. That would be good. Cartoonized, it's not as graphic.
What about candles?
Yeah. Candles, too.
Should make Normie candles.
No, I don't know how that works.
My Who's Back of the Week is voting.
Yeah.
Okay. Mask wearing.
All right, my Who's Back. So one is ranking candies. We fucked up. Everyone's been ranking candies. Anyone want to rank a candy real quick?
Yeah.
Candy corn's great.
Number one is candy corn.
Oh, yeah. Candy corn. I like the orange peanuts.
Circus peanuts?
Yep.
I like the candy pumpkins.
I like black licorice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our Mount Rushmore.
That's it.
Put that on a graphic, will you, Liam? Circus peanuts. Black licorice, candy corn, and what's it?
The candy pumpkins.
Candy pumpkins. Yeah. Those are our four
top
Pardon
ones.
My takes, Mount Rushmore
all,
of candies.
All tied for number one.
Yeah. And then my other Who's Back is, we like him. He's our guy. He's one football guy of the year, but the knives are back out for Jim Harbaugh. That was a tough one.
Tough weekend all around for the Harbaugh clan.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Yep. So
losing two rivals, never good.
There is something about Jim Harbaugh that he attracts such like visceral negative energy when he fails that is like it's shocking some of the articles I read. They're very mean. Very, very mean. Yeah, so he doesn't beat Michigan State ever or Ohio State ever. And they totally aren't what they think they are. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to be as mean.
But they're as close to being what they think they are as they have been in a long time.
No, not anymore.
Michigan?
No, they're
when
not
When was the
good.
Last time Michigan was closer than this to being what Michigan thinks that they are? 1970?
No, they obviously won the split championship in 1997. They were the Harbaugh era has peaked and gone. The JT Barrett, when they were an inch away, that was the peak.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the other end.
2017.
It's on the other end.
Yeah.
This is they are in massive trouble now because they don't get recruits, and I think this is actually might be close to the end for Harbaugh. But good for Harbaugh, he'll get like $100 million to coach the Jets.
To walk away. I'll also not coach Michigan for $30 million or however much they're going to pay him.
Yep.
But if you're Harbaugh, you don't have to go to the Jets.
No, you can go anywhere.
You can shoot. You can aim a little bit higher. You can go to the Falcons.
Yeah. You just need to get like you had at with the 49ers. You need to get a way to get Greg Roman and Vic Fangio again on your staff. That might help.
That's true.
That might be part of.
And Jim Tomsula.
Yeah, that might be part of what helped. But yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And we like Jim Harbaugh. He's a friend of ours. All I'm saying is I think it's over. I really do. Like 24 and a half point favorites against Michigan State, which is like in total overhaul mode with Mel Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose like that. And they have like an entire defensive scheme built around cornerbacks playing man-to-man football. And they like just don't recruit them. Like everything's just kind of, he doesn't have a guy. The craziest thing about Jim Harbaugh right now is like he hasn't had a quarterback in an age when every quarterback transfers. Like you can get a 5-star in a second now because they all transfer. Like Justin Fields, he came from Georgia. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like guys transfer everywhere. So it's just I think it's over.
It might be.
I think it's
it
over.
Might be. But also you could just if you're Harbaugh, you can just point at 2020 and be like, yo, it's 2020.
Yeah.
Like, everything's kind of weird and fucked up now.
But he did want to play.
It's 2020.
That's the problem.
I know.
Like, you got to – you. If
but
you,
nothing
you
has
had
turned
to have known,
out.
Like, if you didn't have a team that could – you could have saved your job if you didn't think your team was very good, to just play the, like, I want the safety of my guys.
I just think that 2020 is a perfect excuse for anybody. Doesn't matter what job
he might not
have.
Get fired this year, but I think just be like, he's on the ropes.
2020 was a fucked up year for all of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't really count. What do you say we just do it over?
And they play Indiana next week. Shout out Indiana. The Rose Bowl goes through Bloomington. I think Indiana's going to be favored, which is when would you ever think Indiana would be favored over Michigan?
In football?
Football.
Yeah, never.
All right, Jake.
A big fuck you to the refs in the Indiana-Rutgers game.
I know.
But how dare you, sir? How
that was
dare
fun.
You?
It was a fun
you
play.
You took away
number 71.
You took
pitch
away
back.
The best yeah. play in the history of college football when 71 throws the ball two hands over his head, like 12, 15 yards backwards.
Brutal.
It was the best play that I've ever seen. Brutal. Fuck you. Also, who's back of the week is Texas. Texas is back.
Yes, big time back.
Big J's doing their homework. So, Boston College
sounds
versus
fun.
Clemson.
Joe
Tessitore happened to know the holder that he played multiple positions in college. Growing up, it was his son. Very
was
good,
that,
feel good
was
moment.
Was that moment from a broadcaster's – I would say a super fan of broadcasters – was that moment the greatest moment, sports moment in your life?
No. It but seemed it like a good moment.
Yeah.
Did you watch it awesome. As it happened?
I was walking back from lunch. Uh-huh. Hank tweeted it at me, and then I saw it like 5 minutes
was
later.
It just like
– you saw it, did you cry?
Did you cry?
No, I was like –
did you
want to
cry?
Awesome.
A little cry? Because like, no. There are times when I see something and
I
want to
it
cry when I see it.
I was watching it live.
I was like, what? Tessitore, Tessitore? Yeah.
I was like, Joe must be loving this. Yeah. But I was like, all right.
And he was very, obviously, very professional about it. Yeah. Like, he didn't even say, that's my son, that's my son.
Right.
Like,
I thought he was a little, no, he was professional. Because he's like,
well,
yeah,
he grew up playing quarterback. It's like, no, every fucking kid plays quarterback and running back and shit growing up.
I'm just glad
that was definitely like, if he was a regular player, he would have been like, he played quarterback and when he was in elementary school.
I'm glad that Jason Witten was not in the booth to ruin that moment for him. Because Jason Witten definitely would have been like, wait, he has the same name as you. Like he would have absolutely.
Like, you know that guy?
Yeah, that is insane, Joe. But yeah, I think that it actually worked out better for this to be the play that he got the call. It's way better that it was like some scrappy, like cerebral type, fucked up, weird scheme play that
big
ended up getting
underdog,
them
first
down.
And it's in Death Valley.
Yeah, it's in Death Valley. If it had just been like if his son had gotten out there and like caught a 99-yard touchdown pass, for some reason it would not have seemed as cool as the way that it did go down.
DJ Umagolelu, that guy's a real deal.
We got Lele?
Dude, he's got a fucking rocket arm.
It reminded me of in Sandlot when the Jets stole home and Smalls was in the booth.
Yeah.
It's like best
friend. You did cry.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you cried.
Yeah.
You cried.
Also, DJ Wigalalele is 250 pounds. I want to remind people of that.
He's awesome.
Big
Cat, he's got a huge
do you know how big he is?
26.
Number 8. I'm taking 8.
Uiangalele.
Uiangalele.
Pick for Billy.
12 Billy, syllables.
Billy 12. Takes 2 because he's a piece of shit.
2. All right. I'm taking...
Uyangalele.
And he'll never listen to this.
42. Jackie 18. Robinson.
18.
26.
8.
Billy took what?
2.
2. 48.
Fuck.
It's a big... Never been used before. 48.
All right,
48.
That
it's
is
a big,
our show.
Chelsea Clinton fan.
There you go. That's our show. We'll see everyone on Wednesday. Remember, Wednesday's a huge or Tuesday's a huge day. NFL free agency and Wednesday match
trade deadline. Big time.
Yeah,
Ryan
huge
Kerrigan,
week.
Ryan Kerrigan. Where's this leader in DC going to end up? That's what we're going to be talking about. Also, how come we didn't talk about this earlier? DK Metcalf posting LeBron James posting a story on his Instagram. Referring to DK Metcalf as Baby Bron.
Lamest thing ever. This guy's really good. He's Baby Bron.
I would be so pissed off if I was DK Metcalf.
I should start being like
what about if you were
Joe
Bronny
Rogan,
and you were actually
PMT.
Baby Bron? Yeah.
Be like what?
Joe Rogan, Baby PMT.
Yeah, Baby
PMT.
Yeah.
This guy's got something.
Maybe I'll just have to start referring to DK as Baby Bron when I want to piss him off.
Yeah,
light a fire.
Yeah. Alright, see everyone on Wednesday.
Love you guys.
Talking away. I don't know what to say, I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you, shine away. So I'll be coming for your love, okay, shine away. So I'll be coming for your love, okay. needless to say. I'm upset it, but please don't let it wait. Smaller than the life is okay. Say after me, it's the better to be safe than sorry. Say after me, it's the better to be safe than sorry. Take on me, take me.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.